जय शुपाल परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान अभयचरणारविंद भक्तवेदांत गोस्वा महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जय नितिलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की आनंद कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविंद श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंद All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namami Shupadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhudale Shamini Bhaktivedanda Swamini Dinamini Namaste Sarasvadevim Gauravani Prajarini Nurvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatide Shadarini ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नम दीनम मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह गृहीतांगम मां उद्धर भवार्णवान् श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्षकृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेशा नाथस्त्वं नो यत् प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपाप प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परं जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वयादितरतश्चार्थेष्व विज्ञस्वराट् तेने ब्रह्महृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरया तेजोवारिमृतं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तगुहकं सत्यं भरं धीमहि धर्म प्रोज्जित कैदवोत्र परमो निर्मत्सराणां सदां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनं श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा वरैरीश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यतेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तत्क्षणात् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबत भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः यं प्रव्रजन्तमनुपेतमभेदकृत्यं द्वैपायनो विरहकातरमजुहाव पुत्रेति तन्मैदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपम् अदितिदीर्षदां तमोन्धम् संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनुमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदादृदाननिन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भता मुरारे मधुरीं न कनिकाभि काभिकाभि नमो ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिनि सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणे श्रीमल्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्णशा यासां हरिकथोद्गीतं पुनादि भुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविन्दपरमाणवे नमः पीतांबरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्गं कौमोदगीसरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायमतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वातालेशमनिशं हृदि भावयामि कोमलं पूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोयं कुमारका वेदवेद्यवरं ब्रह्म वासदां पुरतो मम मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गं लङ्घयदे गिरिं यत्कृपा परमानन्दमाधवम् ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಮದೇ ಆಧಿರಾಯೇ ನಮಃ ಸರ್ವತ್ರ ಗೋವಿಂದ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋವಿಂದ. We mentioned yesterday that what Krishna is talking to Uddhava at this moment in time in the Bhagavatam is for those who have taken up spiritual life very seriously. It's for them. It's not for the general population. You can't give this, tell them about all these things what Krishna is saying here. This is for those who keep this in mind while we are discussing all these verses. This is for serious people who are in spiritual life, who wants to follow Krishna. You can see while Krishna is talking to Uddhava in these verses, little by little Krishna keeps revealing things to Uddhava, some secrets of spiritual life which we don't normally understand. Normally you won't find them in any other book because it's coming from Krishna. And Krishna is revealing one after the other quite a few things in this chapter to Uddhava. Because when Krishna, everybody has a mood, isn't it? In a good mood things will come properly. And Krishna also is in a good mood, it looks, that he wants to say so many things to Uddhava. And you can see that in these in this chapter. So yesterday we were talking about this. Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, the important thing is, first he spoke about the three yoga systems, Jnana Margam, Bhakti Margam, Karma Margam, three processes, Jnana Yogam, Karma Yogam, Bhakti Yogam. And then Krishna spoke about Karma Yogam's difficulties. In nine verses he spoke there, Karma Yogam, he spoke about that. And then Krishna also spoke about the human body's value, the importance of the human body, isn't it? And then Krishna also told us that although this body is valuable, it has got a great problem, which is Deha Vesha Pramadyadi. You can easily identify with this body and suffer from that due to identification. Then Krishna said that is called pramadam. Please get released from that pramadam, he says. Krishna says, first get released from that pramadam, martyam apyartha siddhidam. Because human body is valuable, Krishna says, but you should know that although this body is valuable, it is temporary. That is another aspect of this body. It is valuable, but it is temporary. Then Krishna gave the example of the bird sitting on the tree which flies off when the tree gets cut, and that attitude is necessary in spiritual life while living within this body. That's why this is the best example you can ever think of, the bird flying off from the tree. That should be our attitude in relationship with our own body. That is the only way to progress in spiritual path. Krishna is saying to us, look Uddhava, that bird flew off from the tree, isn't it? When it understood that it's going to drop. Equally, one should be prepared to fly off from this body when the time is ready to go. The time is ready to go. So, but before that happens, you have some time. And in that time, if you utilize this body, he's not saying the body is for... body is a fantastic thing. He's not saying that. What Krishna is saying is that this body can be used to your advantage while you are living in this body, that little time what you have, if you utilize it in spiritual life, you can realize the truth once for all and never have to accept another body again. This is the sum and substance of all these verses what Krishna has spoken. And then after that he said about the nature of this body and what Krishna has given us. What is that? Nirdeha madhyam sulabham sudurlabham. A rare human body he has given us, and plavam, and a boat, which is like a boat. Sukalpam, it is built well, Guru Karnadharam, and the spiritual master is there, Krishna is there, guiding us through these verses in the Bhagavadam, which can go inside and have its desired effect, what it can change our understanding of life. Guru Karnadharam. Krishna says, Mayanu kulena napasvaderitam. Also, there is a wind that is favorable. That means Krishna's grace. That is what it is. Krishna's grace, kripa. In other words, not disturbing our spiritual life in this world. That is Krishna's grace. That you have a desire to understand Bhagavadam, to progress in the spiritual life. But so many material obstacles can come, isn't it? You can get sick. You can have problems at home. You can have problems at various levels in life. There's always so many hundreds of problems waiting there. But Krishna says, when somebody is serious, I'll make sure that they don't come and block his advancement. Mayanu kuvilena napasvaderitam. I give a favorable wind for that person. Puman bhavabdim na taret salmaha. After having all these opportunities, if he is not utilizing it, then he has committed suicide as far as Krishna is concerned. So Krishna has defined what suicide means. Suicide means after getting this human body, if not inquiring about the self and busy with all little things in this world and trying to find happiness here and there, that is suicide. Krishna, that is called avidya. Avidya means ajnanam. It is called ajnanam or avidya. And those who are cultivating that kind of avidya inside, ajnanam inside, Krishna says he has already committed suicide as far as Krishna is concerned. So I mentioned yesterday, Krishna doesn't normally talk about the body. That is not Krishna's style. Always speak from the spiritual level. That is Krishna. Krishna is the spirit soul in everyone, isn't it? So naturally, Krishna's identity is spirit, not with the matter. Although matter is also coming from Krishna, but whenever Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavadam or Bhagavad Gita, it's always from the highest plane of spiritual life. Then, after that, 9 verses, Krishna spoke about the karma yogi who have developed some detachment through karma yogam. He develops vairagyam. And from vairagyam, he moves on to jnanamargam. And afterwards, he said that even after coming to jnana yogam, what is the next step? To get the control on the mind. To get the control on the mind. So there were words from 18 onwards. It's all about control of the mind. From control of the mind. And Krishna says, Yada arambeshu narvino virakta samyadendriya abhyase almano yogi dhared ajalam mana. Controlling the mind as a yogi, Krishna mentions there, that one who are fed up of karmam and you got no attraction for karmam anymore, then Krishna says that abhyase dharayat achalam mana, mind will come under control. Only when the karma vasana goes away from inside, the control of the mind is possible. First of all, that karma vasana has to go. Karma vasana means this tendency for running after things and doing things and getting the results, that kind of mood inside. When that goes away, it becomes easier for control of the mind. Krishna says like that. And then he mentions there also, you can see in the 20th verse, Manogadim na visrajel jita prano jitendriyaha. So about control of the pranan, he mentioned. Control of the pranan. Pranayama, in other words. Pranayama means not controlling the breath alone. He refers to also include so many things in pranayama, because pranan is nothing but mind. A subtle form of the pranan is the mind, isn't it? We take food, the food what we eat turns into pranan. And from that pranan the mind has come. The mind is a subtle side of that pranan. So that is why they are all interconnected. So pranayama includes control of the senses, control of the diet, eating habits, and overall a discipline in life, in everything. Overall a discipline in life. So Krishna says, if everything comes into a balanced state in the body, then naturally pranan, the flow of pranan in the body also in a very balanced way it will happen. Flow of pranan in the body, there are five pranan, pancha pranan, and that is five upa pranan, I mean supplementary pranan. There's totally 10 of them which fly around inside the body. Patanjali's Yoga Sutram will discuss in detail. Main pranan are pranan, apanan, udanan, vyanan, samanan, five of them at five different locations in the body. One of pranan is the one through the nose, and then another one which is flowing through all over samanan, like that, udanan for discretion, apanan for discretion, and Krishna. There is also five upapranans in the body mentioned. That if you want to know more detail about that, where do they flow, what do they do and all that, it's all in the Yoga Sutra, Patanjali's Yoga Sutra. So you can see, Krishna brings everything in. He brings Kapilam, Sankhya, Kapila Maharshi is Sankhyam, Patanjali's Yogam, and Vedavyasa Maharshi's Vedantam. Everything is there in the Bhagavadam in a condensed form in so many places. So here, Krishna mentions there that while practicing all that, this controlling the mind, that's why the subject is, isn't it? For controlling the mind, that it's a big yoga system, Krishna says, because he says, Eshavai Paramo Yoga. If this mind is come under control, then one has gone very far in spiritual life. Eshavai Paramo Yoga is the highest yoga system, he says here. And for that, he says, Kadayatnyatumanyuchan. In other words, Kadayatnyan means Kshetrajnya inside, and who is present inside in Hridayam in the form of Nyapti. Nyapti. So that is Kshetrajnyan. So you have to execute all these yoga system depending on that Kshetrajnyan inside. Kshetrajnyan is the guide at that time. While doing all these things, what Krishna is saying is that Kshetrajnyan is your guide. You should depend on the Kshetrajnyan and practice this yoga system. What Krishna is saying here in these verses. He says you should depend on the Kshetrajnya or Hridayatnyatvam Anvichan Damyasyar Varvado Muhu and execute the spiritual life in that way. So, if one execute, reflect on all these verses, what Krishna has spoken, Krishna says Vairagyam will come very easily. For a thoughtful person who reads these verses and analyze them very well inside again and again, Vairagyam will come in a natural way. Krishna is saying like that. And also mentions there in the 22nd verse, Sankhena sarva bhavanam pratilomani lomata bhavapaya ayav anudhyayin mano yavat prasidati nirvinnasya viraktasya purushasya uktavedinam manasya jadi dauralpam chindidasyanu chindaya. That's the 23rd verse. So, mind, little by little, through Vairagyam, it becomes detached from the world. And in that state, this is how the jnanis are in that state. And for them, he will become closer to the soul, which means that the tattvam of Atma tattvam, in other words, when he becomes more and more aware of the presence of the soul inside, Krishna is saying here, your connection with the false ego, you will loosen up. At the moment, we are very tightly bound with the false ego. False ego is very strongly bound, tightly attached to false ego. What Krishna is saying here is that with this manonigraham, what Krishna has spoken in the previous verses, when we make progress in that path, control of the mind, what will happen is, Krishna is saying that little by little, Vairagyam, due to the power of that Vairagyam inside, he'll become more aware of the presence of the soul inside. And not only that, he will lose his identification with that false ego, personality in other words. You won't think anymore as I'm an individual, I'm a person anymore. That personality itself is the ego. You see, we all of us have, some people are very strong personalities, isn't it? We say, some people. Some people are more relaxed. That relaxed nature, in other words, personality is not important anymore. Personality is ego, and that identification has to go. That I am a person, I am a person, I am this, I am that, so many identities. So Krishna is saying that is called in Bhagavatam as Dauralpyam. He says, Manastyajati Dauralpyam. Dauralpyam is that. Dauralpyam means to identify with the body, or identify with the various designations, and to feel strongly about it. I am that. That is Dauralpyam. Manastyajati Dauralpyam. Krishna says when the mind gets more and more under control, mind will lose its connection with this false ego, and more it will get connected to the soul inside, and that is the time Krishna says that is a yogam. He says, Eshavai paramo yogam manasa sangraha smrita. That's the principle. That these are subtle things. It's difficult to how to find it. No, it has to, one has to quietly analyze oneself and see how strong our identification with the body is. Which anybody can do that on your own. That's why Krishna, and there, who is the guide? Antaryami is the guide. Krishna is the guide from inside. He has to guide us. With his help and his guidance, Krishna is saying you follow this yoga process. Krishna is giving a few tips to Uddhava. That Uddhava, all these things you take note of in spiritual life. They're all important things. Many more things Krishna is going to say about it. So, in that way, Krishna says that through the vairagyam, atmatattvam or presence of the soul inside, we become more conscious of it, and that dauralpyam will go. And the same thing Patanjali also says in the Yoga Sutra. What he says is, tada drashtuhu surubena avastaha. He starts seeing drashtuhu surubena avastaha. His swarupam is not this body. He becomes more and more conscious of that at that state. Tada drashtuhu swarupena avastaha. Swarupasthiti, that means my swarupam, your swarupam is not this body. These are namarupams, isn't it? Name and form, what we are manifesting now in the world. This is not our swarupam. Our tada drashtuhu swarupena avastaha. We become swarupasthiti. Swarupasthiti means no more identification with the body, rather more identification with the self inside, atma. So, Krishna also, swarupasthiti is what? Yogaha Chittavritti Nirodha. Patanjali says like this. Chittavritti Nirodham. This Chittavritti Nirodham is an interesting thing. Very interesting. If you analyze it and look at it carefully. It is our life Krishna is talking about. What is going on here? Krishna says, whenever any Chittavritti comes, what happens in us? Normally what happens? Suppose we get angry with someone. We have a quarrel or argument with somebody. You get so angry. What happens then? This personality inside, we become the anger, isn't it? Any emotions that comes in, we identify with that and we become that. If you become angry or lust or greed or envy or any kind of emotions, if it comes very intensely inside, we become that. That is the Chittavritti's beauty. Chittavritti does that. So instead of we becoming the Chittavritti and standing in the form of Chittavritti, what Krishna is saying here, any Chittavritti or emotion comes, instead of becoming that, because inside there is a, what they call it as the hypnosis is going on, isn't it? That mind is continuously hypnotizing us. That's what the mind is doing, is it not? When any strong thoughts comes, what does the mind do? It makes you feel to identify with that thought strongly. That's the normal system. That's why when we get angry, we become that anger. We become that. We are not separately existing anymore. All what we are manifesting at that time is in the form of that anger. That means we have become that. Same thing with other emotions also. So this principle, this is the principle of Chittavritti. So Krishna is saying here, whatever emotions comes, you are becoming like that. But instead of that, when you become a witness, when you become learned how not to get identify with that particular emotions, Krishna says that is yogasthiti. Yogaha, if you, Patanjali is expert in putting things in a very fine way. He says, yogaha chittavritti nirodaha. If you block the chittavritti, and if you stay outside the chittavritti and observe that chittavritti independently, instead of identifying with it. Generally we identify with it. But instead, if you stay separate, which is sakshi, sakshitvam, witness, if you stay as a witness and observe your chittavritti that has come, that is called yogasthiti. That is called, this is Krishna's instructions to Uddhava. That is called yogasthiti. and the more you lose your overnight, it is not going to happen. That it is, these are things for the whole life to be practiced. Not for a day or two. It's for the whole rest of the life. So as much as you become more situated in the yoga state, as much as we become situated in the yoga state, our identification with the chittam gets minimized, diminished in other words. It becomes minimized. And this is a little sadhana Krishna has spoken here. One sadhana, one of the sadhana. There are a few more others. Krishna says to practice in life. All this is a part of spiritual life. Doing like this only you make the progress in spiritual life, various things. many things we may have done in the past, in previous lifetimes. That's why some interest in spiritual life still, and still some hope and some faith, and able to come and hear Bhagavatam. All this is due to some sadhana we must have done in the previous lifetime. And even though our life may not come to an end, this body, we may have to come in next body, Krishna is concerned, continuously practicing it, will, these vasanas will develop inside and it will help in the next life. That is why he mentioned yesterday also, Nahi Kalyana Krit, in the Bhagavad Gita you will see a verse, Nahi Kalyana Krit Kaschil Durgatim Tata Gacchati. To Arjuna, Krishna says that Arjuna, anyone who is endeavoring in spiritual path, which is Kalyanam, Kalyanam means auspicious thing, he cannot go in the wrong way. He can never finally get, he will always go in the up direction. He won't be going down at any case, in any case. So, he says, mentions here that let the mind go its own way, wherever it wants to wander. Let it go in that way. But still, you stay out of the mind and keep looking at the mind, which way it's going, where all it's going, wandering around. And should not go with the mind. Should not travel with the mind. Let the mind go. Always trying to see that I'm separate from the mind. Like you say, I'm separate from the body, isn't it? It's not good saying enough. It's not good enough to say like that. But just have to remain separate from the mind and separate from the body also. It's like a river is flowing. You keep on looking at the river. The water has gone. Fresh water has come. That's gone. Another one. But continuous flow is there. But the water is continuously changing. The chittavrittis are similar to that. So, with attention, shraddha, remain as a sakshi or witness. So, if the anger comes, let it come. If the anger comes, let it come. And even at that time, try to remain aloof from the anger and not identify with the anger. And if you become identification with the anger, then you have lost it. Then you have lost it. Anger is inside, but I'm watching the anger and remain as a witness. Sometimes we say like that, isn't it? Suppose somebody is annoying you. At some stage you'll say, you know, I'm getting angry. You're winding me up, aren't you? You say like that, isn't it? What does that mean? That means at that time you are a witness, that you're conscious that anger is coming. But once you have identified, then you don't say anything. You just act, isn't it? The madness starts then. So, Krishna's point is that witness state is important. Krishna mentions this in the Bhagavad Gita. I don't know whether you have looked at it. If you look into the third chapter, Krishna will say this. Twenty-eight. 328.
Tattvavittu Mahabaho Gunakarma Vibhagayoho Guna Guneshu Vartande Idi Matvana Sajjade. Tattvavittu Mahabaho Gunakarma Vibhagayo Guna Guneshu Vartande Idi Matvana Sajjade. One who is in knowledge of the Absolute Truth, O Mighty Armed, does not engage himself in the senses and sense gratification, knowing well the differences between work in devotion and work for fruitive results. Here, to be more precise about that verse, Krishna says, Guna Guneshu Vartande. The best explanation for Guna Guneshu Vartande is Gunam, modes of nature, is working with the senses. Guna Guneshu Vartande. That is this witness business. Guna Guneshu Vartande. Senses are working with the modes of nature. To observe that and to remain separate, that is what that verse is actually talking about. That is the tattvam Krishna is saying there. Tattva vittu mahabaho guna karma vibhagayoho. Vibhagayoho. And see, gunam and karmam, they are closely connected, aren't they? Your karmam is based on your gunam. According to your karmam, according to your gunam, your karmam. Krishna says, tattvavit, one who is knows the tattvam, the secret of this or the subtlety of that, he knows guna karma vibhagayoho. How gunam and karmam are working together. Guna guneshu vartande idi matva na sajjade. Gunam is working with gunam, three modes of material nature, is working with the senses. Idi matva na sajjade. And therefore, he doesn't get attached to it. Na sajjade. Sajjade means to get attached. What does that mean? It means this. Subtle side of that verse is this, what we spoke. That's the way you have to understand that verse. Krishna is saying to Arjuna in a very fine language. He's saying in a very, very refined way, he's putting it to Arjuna. That tattvavit, tattvavit means one who knows the tattvam, to mahabaho, guna karma vibhagayoho, gunam and karmam work together. And he knows that karmam comes from the gunam. Karmam comes from the gunam. When we say karmam comes from the gunam, not physical action only, that also you have to remember. Karma means anything that comes from you. For example, you get angry, that's a karmam. You get envious, it's a karmam. And you get greedy, it's a karmam inside. So all that karmam is comes from the gunam inside. What gunam? Modes of nature is inside. So guna karma vibhaga yoho, Krishna says here, influence of that gunam on the karmam is known to the tattvavit. Tattvavit knows this. What? That gunam has an effect on my karmam. That is his intelligence. He's very intelligent. That is why he knows that gunam has an effect on my karmam. Therefore, what he does, guna guneshu vartande. Therefore, he observes things very carefully and sees that he is acting under, the senses are acting under the influence of the modes of nature. Guna guneshu vartande. Senses are working and therefore idimatvana sajjade, he doesn't get involved, remain as a witness. That is the secretive of that verse. Secret side of that. Of course, when we read the translation, sometimes it's not so easy to capture that message, but that is a subtle side of that verse. Tattvavittu mahabaho gunakarma vibhagayoho guna guneshu vartande idimatvana sajjade. After saying that, Krishna is saying here that for example, somebody, you met someone on the street and he annoyed you, he called you some he was swearing at you or spoke something very rude or something like that, and you are getting anger inside, you are getting very angry with him, isn't it? Now, if you look at it, the person who was swearing at you, you have no control over that. And inside, that anger has come. You have no control over that also. Isn't it? Have you got... Anger has come, straight away you reacted to the anger from outside. Somebody abused and you got angry. You have no control of the person who has abused you, because he felt like abusing you, what can you do? So you have to leave that. Inside you got angry, that also you had no control. You got immediately angry. Before you could even think about it, you got angry about it. So both of them is not in your under your control. You can't do anything about it. Outside you can't do anything, inside you got angry, you can't do anything about it. For example, suppose you are sitting at home and you have got a dog at home. And the dog is sitting next to you, the door is open. Somebody else is coming that way, walking with a dog, another dog. So that dog, when it saw your dog, it started barking. And your dog immediately reacted, barking back. Can you do anything about it? Think about that. So this mind and this world is like that. That world will bark and this mind will also bark. Krishna is saying, don't get involved. That is the escape route. That's the only other way. He says here, so your dog is also barking and that dog is all barking. And you can't do anything. The dog outside and the dog inside, that's all. The dog outside and the dog inside, all you can do is to keep watching. Once that dog goes away, probably this dog will stop. This dog will stop. So it will react to anything outside. So the objects that is outside and the reaction that is come from inside, from us. This is only an example, the dog's case. Reality is like this, isn't it? All vyavaharam is like that. Somebody will come and say something. You don't like it. From inside, either you'll get angry or you will keep quiet and keep it inside. But Krishna is saying, neither, don't do that. He says, be a witness to everything, how the reaction is coming. This is an important technique Krishna is saying to Uddhava. Uddhava, these are all necessary in spiritual life, because spiritual life, the goal is different. Temporarily winning over that person is not our goal. So that is that sakshi state. Remain as a sakshi. That tattvavit, Krishna said. And this has to be practiced by meditation, dhyanam, through dhyanam. So that, what is that? Not to identify with the chittavritti. Anger is a chittavritti, isn't it? Greed is a chittavritti. Envy is a chittavritti. They are all chittavritti. Not identifying with them. This is the one sadhana Krishna is saying to Uddhava. One of the sadhanas. Chittavritti will say so many different things. Now, if you analyze chittavritti also, you can see how they all operate. Sometimes you will feel very good, isn't it? And when you feel good also, don't identify with it. That's what Krishna said. Sometimes you say, what they say? Feel good factor. This feel good, feel good factor, when you're feeling like that, don't identify with that, Krishna says. Because that is also a chittavritti. Remember in the second chapter, Krishna gave a clue there. What did he say? Remember that verse? That, what was that? Shidoshna sukadukkada agamapayinu nityam tam tidikshasva bharada. What's the first? Matrasparshastu kaundheya, isn't it? What is the secret of that verse? Have you ever thought about this? We discussed that when we spoke about the second chapter. The secret is this. Krishna is not just saying, normally I'm saying, if you ask anybody, they'll say, the meaning of that verse is, tolerate heat and cold, happiness and distress, isn't it? That is not the secret. Secret of the verse is this. When happiness comes, if you don't get affected by that, this is a very important thing. When happiness comes, if you don't get affected by that, when distress comes, you won't get affected by it. That is the secret. You see how subtle that is. Krishna is pointing out this to Acharya Swamiji, mentions this in the Bhashyam. He says, when happiness comes, if you don't get affected by that means you're not feeling excited and emotional about it. When distress comes, you see yourself, you won't be affected by that. Because all these emotions, it goes into the mind and start playing the game. That means you have learned how to stay away from the mind, in other words. Where is the happiness and distress? It's all in the mind, isn't it? So, generally, what's our nature? If you become happy, big party. isn't it? Invite everyone, beat the drum, let the whole world know how happy I am, isn't it? And when the distress comes, finished everything. Whole life has become misery. This is this going between one extreme to the other. Krishna says avoid that. That is what is identification with the Chittavritti means. It's a very subtle thing, but Krishna is, in that verse, when you read through, that matrasparshastu kaundeya shitoshna sugadukhada. What do we normally say? Normally we say, when it's very hot, we say, oh, Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita, so you tolerate it. Then when it gets freezing weather outside, we'll say the same thing again. Oh, Krishna says, matrasparshastu kaundeya shitoshna sugadukhada. That's not what Krishna is saying. Krishna is saying this, that the subtlety of that verse is more important than the, of course, we have to tolerate as much as we can, heat and cold. What can you do? There's nothing you can do about it, isn't it? Sometimes you can be put into, sometimes right in the middle of the winter, your heating system break down. And if you phone the British Gas, they are saying that we can't come because we have so many calls now. So all you have to do is to tolerate that, is it not? There's nothing else you can do about it. That is the gross side of that, direct instruction. But the subtle side is more important. Krishna is saying, when happiness comes, if you don't identify, when distress comes also, you won't feel that intensity of the distress like you'd have normally otherwise felt. That's the important thing. So here, Krishna is saying, when chittavritti comes, when happiness comes also, remain aloof and watch that happiness that is coming inside. That's a bit difficult thing, isn't it? Because when happiness comes, we want to celebrate it. So that's the problem. So sometimes you become a little bit restless. Sometimes you become a restless. And sometimes you're feeling a little bit... sometimes you feel restless and sometimes you feel a kind of... tired feeling, or in other words, you're feeling very weak. All these are our daily moods, what goes through us, isn't it? Sometimes you feel in a nice mood, and sometimes you feel in a bad mood. Sometimes in a good mood, sometimes in a bad mood. And in a good mood, you feel, oh, everything is going on nicely, all according to your plan, it's working, and the whole world is such a nice place. Everything has been organized, under control, and you're feeling happy about it. The next moment, everything is going in the wrong way, and you're feeling miserable about it. So, that is why Krishna mentions this. If you look into the 14th chapter, Bhagavad Gita, it is only Bhagavad Gita's verses Krishna is presenting in Bhagavadam as a sadhana. That's all it is. The instructions in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has picked up at different places from the Bhagavad Gita, and put them in the form of sadhana for us to follow through life. 14th chapter, if you look, there is a verse there, 14:22. Shri Bhagavan Vacham, 14:22. What does it say? Prakashancha pravurtincha mohamevacha pandava na dveshti sampravurtani na nivurtani kamshadi. Prakashancha pravurtincha mohamevacha pandava na dveshti sampravurtani na nivurtani kamshati. Na nivurtani Kankshati. Krishna says there, then always there will be some force operating within us. There will be some force operating within us. Everybody, every one of us. And we are thinking like this. When I am mood off, I am looking at somebody else. When my mood is off, I am looking at someone. And that person is very happy. That person is very happy, he's feeling very jolly and happy, and he's running around happily. And I'm thinking, why am I like this? He's so happy about it. And I'm start thinking, maybe he has chanted all his 16 rounds and he is very fixed up in spiritual life. I am so useless and I can't even get up in the morning, or I don't have any attraction for Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam, where that person is so fixed up. Maybe that is the reason. I'm thinking like that in my mind. And the next day, after 2 or 3 days, I'm again seeing, I'm feeling very happy and very good. And that person is in a off mood, off state, isn't it? At that time, he is thinking that maybe I'm chanting all my rounds correctly on time, and following all the principles and living spiritually very strong. And he is thinking about me in the same way, isn't it? But reality is none of this. It's nothing to do with any of these things. When you feel enthused, you engage in chanting. When you feel enthused, you engage in chanting. That is the secret. Not that you have chanted and you became happy. No. When you feel enthused, you started chanting. That is the secret. Because Prakriti, you can't do anything about it. Prakriti will keep coming in everyone in different times, in different ways. It will bring happiness, distress, according to the flow of the three modes of nature. See? Sattvam, Gunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. The three modes of nature is flowing through all of us in different ways, at different times, in different people. So when Sattvagunam is flowing, only then you have decided to chant the holy name. When Sattvagunam is flowing. When I say you start decide to chant the holy name, means properly chanting the holy name. Some people do chanting out of cursing, they will chant. Oh, I have to do these 2 hours. I have given a word commitment. That is not chanting, is it? Then you curse yourself that why did I get involved in all these things and you are chanting. That's not chanting. Proper chanting means that proper understanding of the principle of chanting and also engaging in spiritual life, not forcefully, but feeling the desire to chant from within and doing it completely as a spiritual activity, without ego inside, completely dependent on Krishna, chanting the holy name. And in a very subdued state of mind, without allowing the false ego to wake up inside, that kind of chanting. So such chanting will happen only when Sattvagunam comes through. In Rajogunam and Tamogunam, it will not happen. Many times when we chant, we are in Tamogunam, isn't it? That's why we are looking at the watch, we are looking at the counting beats. We are looking at the watch, we are looking at the counting beats. When is it going to finish? That is chanting in the Tamogunam. Chanting in Tamogunam. Sattvagunam chanting means that no attraction towards, attached to the chanting, getting inspired to chant from within, inspiration coming. Why that inspiration is coming? Sattvagunam is coming in. That's why. So that is the way you have to see it, not otherwise. Just like I mentioned this example, 2 people are there. One person is thinking, oh, that person is very good, he is in a happy mood, I am in a miserable state. Why is it like this? I am thinking that, oh, because he is chanting his rounds and he is doing everything properly. And that person, another time, he is seeing me in a good mood and he is in a bad mood. So he is thinking, maybe I am doing everything perfectly and he is not doing anything right. These are all wrong understanding. What it is Sattvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam is coming and going through us. Accordingly, we are reacting to it. We are reacting to it. That is the right understanding. That is the right understanding. Other thing is all wrong understanding. That's coming from the mind. Shastram says to us, no. When the modes are good, it will inspire you to engage in spiritual life and to take spiritual life seriously. That's the beauty of this. That is why that one particular chapter which we are discussing now in the Bhagavad Gita, 3 modes of material nature, Krishna specifically wants to tell us you don't have much control over all these things. That's another thing. That's why when you looked at that verse, Tattvavittu Mahabaho, just now we looked at that verse. Look at the next verse, what Krishna says there. Tattvavittu Mahabaho. What was that? 328, yes. See, 328, what's this 329 says? As soon as, after saying that, Krishna is saying that Prakrite Kriyamanani Gunai Karmani Sarvasha. Gunam is doing everything, not you. Normally we think, because we have, again, this is the problem with the karmam. Karmam, we do something, and when the results come, we think we have done it. Isn't it? Krishna is saying, no. You did the karmam because of the gunam in you. That is what he is saying there. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahangara vimodhalma kartaham iti manyate. You must see the depth of that verse very carefully, because verse is saying to us that prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. The karmam that is coming through you all the time is due to gunai karmani sarvasha, gunam. Due to the gunam, what is inside you is coming out in the form of karmam. Whatever gunam is in a person, it will come out in the form of karmam. That is what is the rishis are saying to us. Krishna is saying this. All the subtle side of Bhagavad Gita. Then if you look at there, the verse before, it was the verse before, not 27. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahangara vimudhalma kartaham idhi manyate. That is reality. When gunam comes and forces to do something, and in the process if some success happens, I am the doer. That's what it is, isn't it? Ahangara vimudhalma kartaham idhi manyate. See how they are all interconnected? Karmam, gunam, our ego, all of them are connected to each other. They are not independent entities, isn't it? Karmam happens due to gunam. Due to the gunam, the karmam happens. Due to karmam, after effect, it has its own ego, ahangaram. Ahangaram. That is why ahangaram, karmam and gunam, three of them are connected to each other. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahangara vimudhalma kartaham idi manyate. Krishna is saying like that. And then he says, tattvavittu mahabaho gunakarma vibhagayoho guna guneshu vartande idi matvana sajjate. He said. And then one more verse he says, prakrite gunasammudha sajjande gunakarmasu tan akrishna vidho mandan krishna vinna vichalaye. We have discussed these verses when we discussed the third chapter, if you want to go more into it. And there, Krishna mentions there that bewildered by the modes of material nature, the ignorant person fully engage themselves in material activities and becomes attached. But the wise should not unsettle them, although these duties are inferior due to the performer's lack of knowledge. Performer's lack of knowledge. So you can see, prakrite gunasammudha sajjande gunakarmasu. Tan akrishna vidho mandan krishna vinna vichalaye. If you can go back into that third chapter classes on those verses, we have spoke a lot about that. That guna samodha. What means is that these three modes of material nature, how we get fooled by that, by the identification with them, with the gunam. Sajjande guna karmasu. That gunam has this quality that it can engage us in karma. That is power of the gunam. We have karma vasana inside and gunam is outside, isn't it? Gunam enters into the mind and agitate the vasanas inside and we engage in karma. This is how it operates. And therefore Krishna mentions this. Always while studying Bhagavad Gita, you should look at the subtle side of it. Only then you will enjoy Bhagavad Gita. And that is how we become more inward looking. Otherwise it won't happen. If you just through the mind and brain, if you keep on studying things, it's not interesting anymore. But when you look at it in this way, how the subtle each verse in the Bhagavad Gita is, and the same thing Krishna is explaining in the Bhagavatam also, in a more practical way, he is instructing Uddhava. In the Bhagavad Gita, it was all pure theory spoken. Whereas in the Bhagavatam, a little bit more personal instructions to Uddhava. So that's the difference you'll find there. So here, after saying this, that these three modes of nature will continue to flow, will continue to flow. All that time, what we have to do to develop this sakshitvam. Sakshitvam means this witness business. Not to allow that to enter inside and rather stay as a witness. Rather stay as a witness. When you identify with the emotion or the thought wave, then what will happen is dauralpyam. Krishna mentions there in the 25th third verse, manastyajati dauralpyam. That is called a dauralpyam. Dauralpyam means the identification with that particular emotions. So duralpa generally means anyone who identifies with the material nature is duralpa. So, so what it means is there is another alma inside which I am not, which I mentioned before yesterday also, personality or ego. And for example, it is he It is this ego that in the dream state, it becomes all sorts of dress, it dresses up in different bodies, isn't it? See, in Swapnam, in dream state, this Duralatma is the one operating in the dream and make us feel all sorts of situations we are involved in. Similarly, in the vacant state also is operating, isn't it? And in the vacant state means, in the vacant state in our mind, so many thoughts are coming, is it not? Thought waves are coming. What they call it as, Krishna calls this mental chariot, manoratham, mental chariot. Who creates this mental chariot? This Duralatma. Duralatma does that. He gives you so many different ideas for the whole day. As soon as you wake up in the morning, he says to you, you have to do all these things today. This is all in your mind. That Duralatma is busy. He keeps your itinerary for the day. And he keeps telling you, you've got all these commitments you've got, which has to be done today. And you start the day with that Duralatma. Duralatma is the one who is keeping you occupied whole day. So, and he keeps you busy in the vacant state. And he keeps you busy in the dream state also. The same thing he does. Bhavana Mandalam, it's called Bhavana Mandalam, imagination state. So, it creates loads of different world inside. Loads of different kinds of world inside. It creates all sorts of worlds, isn't it? But in all those situations, to remain as a witness and not to identify. To remain as a witness and to practice. This is a little sadhana Krishna is talking about. One sadhana. That means, let the thought waves keep coming, doesn't matter, but remain as a witness, to remain as a witness. Just to give an example, suppose there was a quarrel at home, husband and wife, or mother and children, or father and children, something like that. And you got so angry about it. And it will come very forcefully from inside. And that urge inside to react will be very strong. The force or the drive, you can see that coming from inside. But don't act, just watch what happens. Simple sadhana, but very difficult, isn't it? Due to conditioning inside. So, Krishna is saying here, at the right time, when a situation happens in life, if you are able to use this sadhana, what Krishna has spoken, to become as a witness, if you are able to do it, then that is Krishna's grace, kripa. This is how you understand Krishna. That Krishna or Krishna's grace is that you are studying so many things in the Bhagavatam. Lot of other things Krishna is going to say now. All these different sadhanas, little ones, important ones. And Krishna is saying you practice all this in your life. Now, when it brings, our problem is, theoretically we understand all this. But as soon as the situation demands, we are not able to do it. Is it not? You heard this now. Krishna is saying, example, that you have a problem at home, an argument or quarrel. Because in every home it happens all the time, isn't it? Nowhere it's not so peaceful anywhere anymore. So, mainly because of the way of life and all other things, what's happening in life. So, anyway, some problem happened at home, an argument developed between somebody, and you wanted to react strongly. Krishna says, at that time, if you can bring this in, to control the mind and to remain as a witness. Anger is coming inside, but you're not allowing that to manifest. You decided to go, and when difficulty comes, mind is able to stay away from that instead of reacting. Krishna says that is what is called as Dauralmyam. See that? Manas tyajati Dauralmyam. It gets released from the Dauralmyam. So, if you give up this connection with the world, this is the only way to break the connection with the world. And if you do that, mind will become more prasannada or shanti in the mind. Shanti in the mind will come. Shanti in the mind will come. So try, see what happens, if it works or not. That's all I can say. This is one sadhana Krishna has spoken here. So, that you have to remember these sadhanas, not think that, oh, I heard about it, like a katha, I heard and then I left it. Then I continue with my own. That's no good. If all these sadhana, what Krishna is going to say, a few more things. All these sadhana, if you can practically apply in life, Krishna says that dauralpyam manasthyajati dauralpyam, he says. That duralpmatvam will go away from the mind. And what will happen is chindidasyanu chindaya. That will create the different situation. Now, after that, 24th verse, he says, yamadibir yoga badheir anyuchikya javidyayam mamarcho upasana bhirva nanyir yogyam manasmaret. Verse 24. Another sadhana. What is that? Yamadibir yoga badheir anyuchikya javidyayam mamarcha upasana bhirva nanyir yogyam manasmaret. See that word? Anvikshiki Vidya. Remember this Anvikshiki Vidya? What is that? We have talked about it before. Anvikshiki Vidya. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is one personality who trained himself in Anvikshiki Vidya very expertly and became very successful. Who is that? So I can see the problem. We are discussing, everything is going off, it's not staying. So important thing it is, this Anvikshiki Vidya, we talked about it so many times, not once. Anyway, we'll go to first canto of Bhagavatam. If you look into third chapter, 11th verse, says who practiced it and made very big success of it, who became famous. Shashtam ametrabhatyatvam vritraprapto anasuyaya anvikshiki alarkaya prakhladadibhyavu jivan. Prakhlada is that personality who practiced this anvikshiki vidya. And he became so successful at it that he told all his friends, this is what I did, try this, he said. This is another technique Krishna is telling us, another sadhana. Anvikshiki Vidya. Shashtamatra Rabatyatvam Vritra Prapto Anasuyayaha Anvikshiki Alarkaya Prahladadibhyavu Jivan. Prahladadibhyavu Jivan. Prahlada and others, he said. Anvikshikim Alarkaya Prahladadibhyavu Jivan. In the first canto, it's only a reference to Prahlada like that. We discussed this Anvikshiki Vidya, how Prahlada practiced it in the seventh canto. Well, reference to. See, all these things is only will remain inside if you regularly read Bhagavatam. Just hearing and going and leaving it outside the gate is no good. It has to sink in and it has to have its understanding. At least we must know that what it means, Anvikshiki Vidya means. Anvikshiki Vidya is that, what Krishna says is that suppose we have, due to our vyavaharam in this world, with different people, we have different relationships, isn't it? Some people we like them, some people we hate them inside, and with some people we don't care whether they come or go, it doesn't matter. So this situation has to go, that in all people, in everybody, in every object, Krishna is present inside. Krishna is present inside. Knowing that and trying to see Krishna's presence in everyone all the time, in that way, wiping away that hate from inside is called Anvikshiki Vidya. Suppose we have ill feeling towards others, and that's not going away. There are whole of Bhagavatam, this is there, this Anvikshiki Vidya will come. that you have problem with somebody. You sometimes people say, I hate him, you say like that, isn't it? So, but for when spiritual knowledge develops in a person, you can't hate anybody, isn't it? Because Krishna is present in that form also. Where is the question of hating anyone? In Vyavaharam, we may have a lot of problems with others. It's again, Krishna has decided that he's going to react in that way. What can be done about it? But that should not bring us down to the level of the bodily identification. Because if you are reacting with people in hate and love, that means you are very much in the bodily identity, not moved very far from the body. So that is why Prahlada says there, how come Prahlada won over Hiranyakashipu? Through this Anuchiki Vidya, isn't it? When Hiranyakashipu was trying to torture Prahlada, Prahlada could not see any kind of hate towards Hiranyakashipu. That is Anuchiki Vidya. Therefore, what was seeing? Prahlada was seeing Krishna within Hiranyakashipu. Prahlada is seeing Krishna everywhere. And to prove this Anuchiki Vidya is correct, that is why Shuga Brahmarshi mentioned there that Narasimha Murti came from the pillar. The power of Anuchiki Vidya. He is the only person who was able to pull out Krishna from a pillar because of Anuchiki Vidya. Perfection of Anuchiki Vidya. This Anuchiki Vidya, if practiced, and we will not become Prahlada today or tomorrow. It's not going to happen. But this is a sadhana Krishna is giving to us to practice in life. Because when we come to spiritual life, all other priorities has to take the second place. Spiritual goal takes the first place. For the sake of higher purpose, we have to throw away all our little interest in this world, little interests of our ego or our selfish ideas and all that. We got to throw them away because we have a higher goal, higher purpose. What is that? That means we have to leave this body without hating anyone. If we have hate or love towards anyone, that will come back again at the time of death. When we discussed about death, I mentioned that before. What happens at the time of death, isn't it? So, Anuchiki Vidya is all clearing up all our backlog. Whatever we have created inside, enmity, ill feeling, hate, and all other kinds of things. So, that Prahlada mentions there that the Anuchiki Vidya, if it is practiced, you can wipe away a lot of your dirt inside. Because so many people have got inside us in different form. Many of them in different ways, isn't it? They have done so many things and you have taken it so hurt by that, that you started reacting from inside in the other way, became negative towards them. So, and that will cause, and that is Anuchiki Vidya. When you go to Himalayas, and there, you know, Pandavas, when they left the body from Badrinath, they started walking further. The journey starts from there further. Surgarohani, they call it. In that journey, all the five Pandavas and Draupadi, they were all walking one after the other, and one by one, they dropped their body. And the last person to drop the body was Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira Maharaj, he was leaving his body. So, what happened was, Yudhishthira Maharaj sensed. Yudhishthira was very fond of Prahlada. You know that. Yudhishthira was very fond of Prahlada. And when Parikshit was born, the Yudhishthira's question was, what kind of devotee will be Parikshit? He asked this question. Everybody said, all the brahmanas who were present there, they said that Prahlada will be a great devotee. So, Yudhishthira asked the question, what kind of devotee will he be? And when they told him, the brahmanas present there, said he'll be as good as Prahlada, he said. He'll be as good as Prahlada, he said, as a devotee. He'll be like Prahlada, he said. And after that, the brahmanas told Yudhishthira, but he will be bitten by a snake and he will leave the body in that way. Now, if Yudhishthira wanted, he could have looked for some solution. He didn't. Instead, as soon as he heard, he will be like Prahlada. Yudhishthira felt totally happy. He didn't say anything after about his death. About Parikshit's death, he was not concerned at all because of this statement from the Brahmana that he will be like Prahlada. He will be like Prahlada. And in the seventh canto of Bhagavatam, you have to remember that Bhagavatam, that seventh canto, is what is spoken in the Rajasuyam sacrifice, isn't it? That's where seventh canto of Bhagavatam is coming from. Sri Narada Maharshi, talking to Yudhishthira Maharaj in Rajasuyam sacrifice about Prahlada. That is the seventh canto. And that seventh canto, after hearing about Prahlada, Yudhishthira asked the question, how can one become a devotee like Prahlada? Keeping this in perspective, Narada Maharshi told about Varnashrama Dharmam there. That is how that five last chapters in the seventh canto were spoken to make Yudhishthira aware that Varnashrama Dharmam can help a person to develop bhakti like Prahlada had. All these things is the background. So here, our Yudhishthira, he was leaving his body finally. So he looked inside himself and he thought, do I have any hate towards anyone? See how clever, intelligent Yudhishthira is. He had association with Krishna so many years, isn't it? And Yudhishthira knows what's right and wrong. Dharma, he is Yama Dharma Raja's another manifestation. When he looked inside, he realized that he still have hate towards Duryodhana. Because that's what created Mahabharata war. So what did Yudhishthira do? Before leaving his body, he built a stone as a temple there for Yudhishthira, for Duryodhana, and made a garland and put the garland on Duryodhana and paid obeisances to Duryodhana and then left the body. What does it show? It's showing to us that not to carry anything, any ill feeling towards anybody else inside. We may not be leaving the body like the way Yudhishthira left. We'll be lying in Watford General or somewhere else. I don't know where it will be. But there will be no garland, we'll be thinking, and we won't be able to even act properly at that time. What situation we'll be leaving the body, nobody knows, isn't it? The doctors will be making fun. They'll be having their... because they're used to this all the time, people coming and leaving the body. So the important thing is that any hate, anger, envy, anything, that it will become a block at the time of death. Therefore, Yudhishthira wanted to completely clear off everything. So he finally did this to Duryodhana so that he leaves from inside. Duryodhana goes away from inside. Otherwise, Duryodhana is inside Yudhishthira's heart, isn't it? So, so just like this anger that we have problem with someone, we have got the anger towards him, but however we may justify my anger towards other person, that person is not affected by that, isn't it? That person is not affected by that. I got angry with you, but you are okay. I got the problem. You don't have any problem. So, me, because I have developed so much hate towards someone, I am not able to eat, I am not able to sleep, all those things. And I lost my peace of mind, isn't it? Therefore, I have to remove you from within. Suppose I got upset with someone, and he has got inside me so strongly that I lost my peace. So the right thing for me to do is to get rid of you from me, from inside me, isn't it? So the easiest way to do that, I have to see that person who has got inside me as manifestation of Krishna. Bhagavat Swarupam, that is this Anuchigi Vidya. You may say that, oh, this is all very, very impractical. That will be the first response to that, isn't it? It's not practical. You are telling me that I have to see him as Krishna's manifestation, you will say. What he has done to me, you don't know. then that will be the way we will react, isn't it? Generally, that will be our reaction. But for the sake of self-realization and for once for all to stop this business of anger and hate, we have to move on. And to move on, we have to take this seriously. So, inside, through the knowledge of the self, and this thought that is coming up strongly as hate towards someone else, which is, that means the influence of that person on my personality must go. That person has an influence on my personality, that has to go. And no person should influence you. That is the right situation. You have to be in that state. No person should influence you inside. Influence you inside. In that case, you have become independent. You have become free. So, in other words, you don't get caught up in anybody's charisma. Both are bad. Through hate, somebody gets inside. Sometimes this thing called charisma. Nowadays, spiritual life is all charisma. All the spiritual leaders, they're becoming more and more charismatic, isn't it? Like the celebrities. They get inside. And charisma, people are driven by the charisma. You don't fall into that charisma. That is more important. And you are doing what you are doing. You are not doing anything to anybody because you like that person. That's because of charisma. I like somebody, so I do it for him. That's wrong. That's not the right thing to do. And I don't like somebody, so I won't do anything for him. This is the normal norms of this world, isn't it? I like someone, so I'll do everything for him. Somebody else? Somebody came to you, hungry. I like that person, so I gave him food. Another person came. I don't like him. You sharp, I'm not going to give you any food. This is the world. This is the kind of world we are living in. Imagine the situation. Think about yourself that the situation is happening in this world. Somebody who has come, he's my friend. I'll give him everything, what he wants. And because I like him, that's the answer. I like him, so I give him everything. Somebody else comes and he's starving. He hasn't got anything and you don't like him. Or you don't need anything. I'll give you a glass of water. Then you go. This is our so-called judgment. It is in this level we are operating in this world. That is exactly what Krishna is saying here. Avoid this. Avoid this. And when spiritual institutions also fall into this trap, then what do you do? When they start doing this, they're saying that, you are not important. You stay in the queue for prasadam. Somebody, he's Maharaj, go upstairs, you stay there. We put special preparations for you, everything, maha for you. For you, the only khichdi from the kitchen is okay for you. This is what kind of spiritual life is this? He's big boss, isn't he? So you should have everything, the big field. The others, no, you don't get anything. You just get khichdi, that's enough for you. So this is the... You imagine, Krishna is saying anvikshiki vidya in the Bhagavadam, and this is how we follow Krishna. Our following Krishna is like this. And Krishna is saying, Prahlada followed anvikshiki vidya, became successful in his spiritual life. In the third, first canon, you can say, anvikshiki alarkaya prahlada adibya ujivan, he says. So we don't want to do anything what Krishna says. We want to do what we want to do. But all with the cover-up of Krishna outside. So many things, if you observe carefully, you will notice all these things happening in big, big spiritual institutions. This is going on. And they're all saying they're all very spiritual. So you have to ask the question then, isn't it? What is spirituality then? We, on an individual level, we are struggling so hard to wipe out this hate from inside. To what? Remove another person getting inside. Whether in a good way or in the bad way, both are trouble. Both are trouble. Because if they get in, this is not proper. That is why Krishna is saying here that that you don't do anything to someone because you like him. And you don't do anything to someone because you don't like him. both things. You don't do something to someone because you like that person. No. Knowing well that's the right thing to do, you do it. That's the right way to do it. Similarly, someone for whom you want to do something, but because you don't like him, you don't stop doing it. You do it for him. Knowing well that's the right thing to do. That is what Krishna is saying here. And this is a part of that Anuchiri Vidya. Such a person, you can trust him. Because he doesn't have any hate or attachment towards anyone. And whatever he can do, he will do it. And he has no attachment anywhere. And that is called love. In spiritual life, this is love. That means, according to dharmam, one performing his actions in this world, that is called love. That is called deham, love. Normally, what do we think? We think, if I have that emotion inside, I like someone, because I like him. And therefore, I'll do everything for him. Somebody else, I hate him. I don't like him, so I'm not going to do anything for him. That is not dharmam. That is not proper love. That is not the love Krishna talks about in the Bhagavadam. Krishna says here that this love, what we talk about as love, that I like him, I don't like him, that kind of love even the cats and dogs have got. There's nothing difference there. Cats and dogs also have the similar kind of love. That is prakriti. So, just like children, when they have a headache, they'll say, I'm feeling pain in the stomach. Like that. Sometimes children will do. They don't know where it's paining. They're not restless, they are. And they'll say, if you ask the child, that where is the pain? Is it in the stomach? He'll say, yes. But actually the pain will be in the head. Because they don't know anything, where it's what's going on. So here, similarly, not knowing love properly, what is love means, not knowing what love means, and acting in this world. That is adharmam, a religious thing. So, sneham or love means another name of dharmam. So, when you execute the dealings in this way, Krishna says that is called dharmam. That means one who is acting in this world without ragadvesham. Such people, you can trust them. And only such a person can do anything good to this world. Anything good in this world. Not otherwise. Suppose you say, I like that person, I'll do something for him. If I don't like that person, I won't go anywhere near to him. That person cannot do anything good in this world. Krishna's point. So, is it possible to get over this liking and disliking? That is another question comes from that. So, all these are questions in front of us. Is it possible to get over this liking and disliking? Even in the family life, if you take, for example, one of the most difficult situation is that when the girls get married and they have to go and live with the husband, with the husband's family. In the olden days, it was like that, isn't it? When the girl, after marriage, goes to live with the boys and her parents, boys and the boys' parents, at that time, the girl is expecting, newly married girl, she's expecting that everybody will show love and affection towards me. With that hope, she goes there, isn't it? And if there is any little problem develops there, any member in the family of the husband did not show any love or affection for the newly married girl or wife, then it will be difficult for her to live there, isn't it? So, what will the next thing will happen? The girl will say to the boy, I can't stay here. And immediately the son has to leave home with the wife, isn't it? So many years the son lived with the parents. Now, a time has come that son has to leave home, isn't it? If you ask what's the reason, we can't live together. Both sides have started saying. And parents are helpless, but the girl says, we can't live together. Why? They are saying there is no proper frequency between us. Or what they say in a modern language, there is not proper vibrations, they say. We are not getting the right vibrations at home. Or they'll say emotional clash. These are all words. All means the same thing. Not much different. So it is wrong to expect everybody to like you. It's wrong to expect everybody to like you. And it is also not possible to show love to everybody. That is also not possible. If you know that principle, because you go to a house, every member of the family will not show the affection or love for you. Some members will not even show any sign of recognition even, and they'll go also. So the important point is, Krishna's point is that it is not possible to expect love from everyone, or it's not possible to give love to everybody equally, isn't it? Some people's presence, we don't like it. In spite of all that, whatever it may be, the emotional reaction from others, still I will do what I have to do. That is the point. Krishna says here that that if you do like that, that person outside won't get inside. If you do deal with the people in this way. So that means that person outside and the reaction inside me towards him, if none of them is affecting me, then it is called dharma. If the person outside and the reaction inside me, is neither of them is affecting me, then that person, you are doing your dharma then. That means you are properly situated. Because, of course, nowadays it is a little different, isn't it? Everyone, what we call now as a nuclear family, isn't it? That's a new modern thing. Nuclear family. For everything we have a very nice sweet word. Only thing is we kept on breaking everything. And finally come to this where we are. And then after that now we say husband needs one house, wife also needs another one, flat. So construction industry has to grow. For so many houses we need, is it not? So it was not like that before. So many members of the family lived in one house, is it not? So many members, uncles, aunts, grandparents, parents, children, huge family, 25, 30 members were quite unusual at one time. But now it's different because we couldn't tolerate each other. Everybody wants their own scum. Right? Anyway, it becomes more difficult, in other words. Anvichhiki vidya has become more difficult. So Krishna is saying here, that Anvichhiki Vidya, Anvichhiki Vidya itself, there is a book about Anvichhiki Vidya, if you want to know more about it, that how other person don't get inside. We have to deal with the world in such a way. So, especially in situations like this, living in a big family with many members, every one of them won't show the affection and love towards you. You may not feel the same love and affection towards everybody. Just like you can see in a joint families, you may like some members of the family. With some other members, you keep a little distance because you know that the relationship is not so good. So all these things happen. So here, this important principle is this, that person does not get inside me. And if he's not getting inside me, and if there is no reaction coming from inside me, then you can say that your dealings with that person is based on dharma. Then that relationship is in dharma. So, therefore, that he will do what is to be done for others. This is Krishna is talking about. So, if such a training, if you have that person, you can trust him. You can trust that person. Because he won't do anything based on his mind. You can see that, isn't it? Such a person will not act in this world based on his mind. Mind will give you so many ideas at different times. Let anything come in the mind, doesn't matter. But you are always remaining as a witness. You are always remaining as a witness. So, if you see like that, seeing Krishna present in everyone, and then execute your sadhana in that way, worshipping Krishna's deity, all the other things, then you can remain in spiritual platform. Krishna says, that is that verse 24. Yamadibir yogha padai anyuthikya javidyaya mamarcha upasana bhirva nanyer yogyam manasmared. That verse. This is what it is talking about. Yamadibir yogha padai anyuthikya javidyaya mama archo upasana bhirva nanyer yogyam manasmared. That is what that verse is talking about. So, it's 9 o'clock. We'll have a few minutes then.
Chedo darpanam arjanam vamaha davagni nirvavanam shreyakaidava chandriga vidaranam vidhyavadu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pradivada purnamrada swadhanam sarvabna suvanam param vijayade shri krishna sangirtanam namna magari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrarpida nimida smaranena kala Edadrishata Vakrava Bhagavan Mamami Durdeva Mede Shamiha Jani Anuraga Tranada Vishuni Jaina Tarora Visahishuna Amani Namana Dena Kirtani Sadahari Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavidam Vajagadi Shakamaye Mama Janmani Janmani Shwari Bhavadad Bhaktira Haidu Gitwai Ainanda Tanuja Kinkaram Patidamam Shame Bhavambudo Rubayadava Padabanga Jastida Duli Sadrasham Vichindayam Ayanam Gladashudaraya Vadanam Gadgadarudhaya Gira Pulagir Nijadam Kadava Bhutavannam Grahane Bhavishadim Yugaidam Nimeshena Chachusha Pravishaidam Shunyaidam Jagal Sarvam Govinda Virahename Ashlishyava Padaradam Pinishtumam Adarshanam Marmahadam Karyoduva Yatada dava with the dadulambada, but prana nathas to name an opera. Yamadibir yoga pater, anikshikya javidyaya, mamarcho vasana bhirva, nanir yogyam manas marid.
Verse 24. So, you will see here in that verse so many things Krishna says. Yamadibir yoga pater. Yamam niyamam, all that yoga systems, yoga processes, in other words. Yamam niyamam. So on and so forth. Or, anuchikyaja vidyayam, that means jnanamargam, vicharamargam, or thought process, all of that. Or, mamarcha, mamarcho vasana bhirva, means deity worship. Archana, deity worship. Deity worship and also shravana kirtanam. Shravana kirtanam means hearing. Bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita, all these things. All of them, Krishna is saying here, the only idea behind all this is that you don't think about something else. This is the reason behind it. To do deity worship, hearing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavadam, or the other processes like yamam, niyamam, pranayamam, all other things, yoga margam. Ashtanga Yogam, all of them, the goal behind all of this is that so that the mind don't go in the wrong way, go and get absorbed in the other useless things in this world, in these things in this world. So, for a householder, for example, if he has no other work, nothing else to do, Krishna says, worship the deity at home. Worship the deity at home. Abhishek, deity worship, and all these things is necessary at home, Krishna says. Because, for example, when you are doing deity worship, you also understand a higher philosophy, isn't it? And you are still doing deity worship at home. For example, at home, children will be there. When the children see that, one devotee mentions this, that various types of deity worship exist. Deity worship, elaborate deity worship can be done at home also. Some people do. Now, those who are doing that deity worship, they've also studied Shastram and they've understood the higher principles of spiritual life. Higher principles of spiritual life. That means, you know, in the Bhagavatam, when we talk about deity worship, what does it say? It's for the Kanishtha Dhyari, one who is on the lowest platform. He starts the deity work. But someone who has listened to Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, studied well and reflected on it and absorbed it well, and he is moving higher, he still does deity worship at home. He doesn't stop it. What is the reason behind that? Reason is this, that there are others at home, small children, or others who have not developed that spiritual understanding like this person has. But in order that, they will also require help from those who have got the proper understanding. So for their benefit, it has to continue. Deity worship has to continue at home. Because children don't understand. If you tell them about the Uttamadhyayi, Madhyamadhyayi and all that, they won't understand. Or first-class devotee, second-class devotee, they won't understand. But for them to see the deity worship and seeing these different deities and forms, they will develop some understanding inside about spiritual life without their knowledge. Without their knowledge. And this is, that means, you should not pull the bridge after you have crossed the river. That's what it is. Just like you are crossing the river and there's a temporary bridge. Now that I have crossed the bridge, we don't need the bridge, you pull the bridge off. That should not be in spiritual life. Even though we may have understood higher things, we may have been following on a higher level things with spiritual life, still the lower things should not be given up. Lower things should not be given up. This is the big difference between Vedic philosophy and Buddhism. Vedic philosophy and Buddhism. Because if you look back, you can see, if you look back in your own life, those who have had that experience, that at some stage in life, the temples, deity worship, and presence of so many spiritually involved people, their presence in the temple has helped in your spiritual life. At some stage in life, may not be today, but earlier in life. So therefore, you couldn't say that because I've gone through all that, now I don't need the temples. You can't say that they're still very much required. It has some meaning of having them in this world. So after seeing all these things, we shouldn't say that, oh, I've crossed all that stage now, I don't need them. And those things should be still carried on for the benefit of others. And for the benefit of others. That means in Vedic system, that what they're saying is that these things, sometimes when you make that spiritual progress, you may see so many things what you have done before may not be necessary. You may feel that way. And that is true also. Sometimes you may not need that. But because of that, because you don't need it, that doesn't mean that it should not be there. It should still be there. Deity worship should be there. And it will help the others who are also going through. They should not be ignored. This is the point. So here Krishna says that goal is that always to remain in spiritual life. That is the most important thing. Nishtha. Nishtha means always body, mind, everything in a controlled state, disciplined way, and able to be absorbed in the thoughts of spiritual life. So, so even if you do all these things without his knowledge, if he has done something by mistake. Things can go wrong in life, isn't it? You can do sometimes some mistake. What should he do? What should that person do? What is the atonement for that? Krishna says that vaidigam means In Vedam, there is no atonement for such mistakes. What it means is, see, a devotee or a jnani, for example, a devotee or a jnani, let's say both are in the spiritual path. A devotee, for example, he is living a disciplined, proper brahmachari life. He is living a proper brahmachari life. And he is very disciplined. He is studying shastram. And in his daily life, everything is as expected from shastram. He is living that life. Suddenly, something went wrong in life. He did some big mistake. He fell down. He broke some principles. Or did something without his knowledge. He couldn't resist that. What should he do? What is the atonement for that? That is what Krishna is talking about here. Krishna is saying here that Krishna calls, uses the words akhamarshanam. Akhamarshanam means that atonement, what one has to do. Why did this incident happen, first of all? Two reasons. One, due to the false ego inside. And secondly, due to the sense-enjoying vasana. That vishaya vasana it's called. That means he had that vasana inside to go and do something wrong like that. Although he was living in a disciplined way, something went wrong and went and did something wrong. Why did that happen? For two reasons. One, due to ahankaram, ego inside. And secondly, due to the vasana inside. That vasana was there in that person because of that. So, if you don't have vishaya vasana, if you don't have that sense desire for sense gratification, sense enjoying desires inside, and if you don't have the false ego inside, then you are always situated on the platform of the soul then. Always on the platform of the soul. So, if that person should not commit the same mistake again, what do we have to do? You have to root out that vasana inside, what he has got, isn't it? And that is done through yogam process. For example, in the Vedam, there is prayaschitam. Prayaschitam means atonement. Atonement means that suppose there are, you committed a murder, you killed a cow, or you killed someone out of emotions or something like that, or it gave pain to somebody. What is the solution to that? In Vedam, there is certain injunctions mentioned. For this sinful activity, this atonement. There's a number of them mentions there. But if you come to spiritual life, and you are either following the process of Jnana Margam or Bhakti Margam, Krishna is saying here that because no ordinary people, they cannot follow the yoga process, isn't it? Ordinary people, they don't follow any yoga process. They just go to the temple when they want to go and they approach the deity in a completely different way with all their desires, without any knowledge, in other words. They're doing things. And their spiritual life is only limited to a visit in the temple or sometimes a little bit of deity worship at home. But by and large, they are busy in their vyavaharam in this world. So, these injunctions in the shastram, what is mentioned in the Vedam, is for those people. Those who are not taken spiritual life seriously. One who has come to spiritual life, for him, the atonement and prayaschitam is different. It's not the same what is spoken. Now, that is where this difference comes. That means that those who are not serious about spiritual life, those who are living a proper, so to say, material life, mundane life in this world, enjoying everything in this life, enjoying the family life, enjoying the social life, and acquiring as much money as possible. You'll find people doing all these things and still they'll go to the temple and they will pay their obeisances to the deity. And if you tell them to do sadhana and all that, they say, we don't have the time. They're not serious people. They are just going to the temple because they do accept that there is a higher authority who sanctions to all their desires. They may be engaged in big money-making, money-spinning programs, and they want approval from Krishna. So they have that much faith that without Krishna's sanction, they may not get it. So they go to the temple for this reason. Or sometimes when they are very, very sick, they'll go to the temple that thinking that Krishna may cure this illness. In this way, they have a connection with the deity, which is different. So for them, people who are like that, these injunctions in the Vedam, telling you what you should do, what kind of prayaschitam one should perform. And there are so many things related to that. But on the other hand, if you have taken the spiritual life seriously and you have taken all the necessary discipline in your life to keep your life in spirituality, in other words, which means spiritual life is the highest priority in your life, and you are executing sadhana every day seriously, you are studying Shastram, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam and trying to absorb everything as best as you could. And in addition to that, all your life is centered around spiritual goal. That means you come to spiritual life with proper understanding that you want spiritual life and you are willing to take instructions from Krishna. And in the middle of all that, you have done and gone and done something wrong. Then what you should do? This is the question. That is what Krishna is discussing there. When you are engaged in spiritual life seriously, when you have a proper spiritual goal in life, you have given up all your materialistic plans, you live in this world only for the sake of maintaining this body. Beyond that, you haven't got any other interest in this world. At the same time, all your other activities are centered around your spiritual understanding. In that case, if he is a devotee, Krishna is saying, for a devotee, devotion itself is the atonement. Devotion itself is the atonement. For a jnani, knowledge itself is the atonement. For a jnani, knowledge itself is the atonement. That means, in whatever state they are, for example, a devotee, if he has committed something wrong, the atonement is that he should chant more. He should chant more rounds and take out that from inside, what he has done, that vasana from inside, by chanting more. And again, it may happen. It is not guaranteed. Again, the same mistake can happen. But the atonement is not discussed in the Vedam. Vedam says there, that process itself is the atonement. That is his atonement. That means if he has committed something wrong, chant more. If again he has committed something more, he chant more. That way, through chanting, you wipe out that vasana from inside. Similarly, if he is following the Jnanamargam, for example, Jnanam process, and if something goes wrong, through vicharam, through reflection, you take it out from inside. Again, it can happen, but it won't happen many times. If your reflection is good, then it will not happen many times. It's only because of poor sadhana and poor alpavicharam, self-inquiry, it happens again and again. Such gross mistakes can happen. Otherwise, it shouldn't happen. One or two times it may happen, but after it will stop. For a reasonable person, that's the way it will be. So suppose you are chanting 16 rounds and something went wrong in your actions in this world, chant 25 rounds or 50 rounds, and in that way come out of that vasana inside, what is bothering you, what's bothering you. And if it was on the process of knowledge path, if that is somebody is causing you difficulty and there is some problem inside, something you've gone and done wrong, through inquiry itself, you should wipe that out from inside. That's called bhramsham. Bhramsham means that something that happens in life without your knowledge. Yadi kuryal pramadena yogi karma vigarhitam yoge naiva dahe damho nanyatatra kadachana. That is that verse 25. And then Krishna is saying there that the Sve sve adhigare ya nishtam saguna parigirtida karmanam jatya shuddhanam anena nema krataha guna dosha vidhanena sanganam tyajane chaya. That is another next thing. Krishna says here that sve sve, this is the rule. If you are chanting the holy name, you chant more, and little mistakes, what has happened, that because when you do something wrong, what happens? The mind loses its balance, isn't it? It loses its steadiness. That is what it is. For example, just to give you an example, that many gay devotees, they also make mistakes. They also make mistakes. Not that everybody is 100% all the time in that state. Not knowing something, you spoke bad about somebody, gossiping, in other words, which we all do very happily, isn't it? So you've spoken something bad about somebody, and later on you thought that I shouldn't have spoken like that, thought about it, and you felt bad inside. What is the atonement? Atonement is this, that suppose you are chanting 16 rounds a day, chant a few rounds for that to atone for this, for what you have done, to spoken something wrong or something ill about somebody. And another person, his inquiry is busy with self-inquiry, almavicharam. And if anything happens to him in this way, something like that, that vasana inside, he should remove it through self-inquiry only. And that is called another side of that dauralpyam. The word Krishna used there before, remember? That in the earlier, he mentioned that, dauralpyam. This is all dauralpyam, yeah. 23rd verse. Manas tejati dauralpyam. 23rd verse. So dauralpyam. So dauralpyam should be, you know. So Krishna's point is, through austerities, all these austerities and penances, one has to bring purification inside. And whichever way one is situated in life, we have to do it there itself. Not go somewhere else to do it. In whatever situation we are, Krishna has put us in this world, all of us are in different situation in this life, isn't it? So whichever situation Krishna has put us in, to stay in that state and to execute spiritual life. And if anything happens there, Krishna is saying that if you are serious about spiritual life, the atonement for that is simple. It's that you do it and get rid of that vasana from within. So, some people have that, some people have different kinds of prayaschittam. Some different kinds of prayaschittam. For example, Panchagni Vidya. Panchagni Vidya is one that is spoken in the Upanishad. Panchagni Vidya. It's a kind of prayaschitta. What does Panchagni Vidya means? You create a big fire, a circle, a big circle of fire. Go inside the fire and sit there. That means fire is burning all around you. On the top, sun is very, very hot, hot sun on the top and all around sun. Sit there and chant the holy name. Or engage in absorption, some dhyanam, meditation. That's called Panchagni Vidya. Panchagni means five fires, four sides and on the top, five. Five sides fire and sitting inside that and executing your sadhana in there. So that is one. And these are all mentioned in the Vedam. All this comes there. And Chandrayanam. If you look, you will see Chandrayanam, Krishna Chandrayanam mentions there. Chandrayanam means some people do this. That what they do is Amavasi day, that means the new moon day, isn't it? New moon day, they fast whole day. They fast whole day. From the next day onwards, in 14 days' time, the moon keeps growing, isn't it? After 15th day, the moon is full moon day. New moon day, moon is, no, you can't see the moon. And then every day the moon start growing. And on the 15th day, it is a full moon day. So what they do is that from first day, they start reducing their food. Suppose first day they will eat 14 times, 14 morsels. What do they call this? Morsel, isn't it? 14 handfuls they will eat. Next day they will eat 13 handful. Next day they will eat 12 handful. Like that 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8. In this way, day by day, they will impose this austerity on their eating. This is called Krishra Chandrayanam. It is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Some kings used to follow this. So many are there like this. That means according to the moon's growth and decay, you adjust your food. You adjust your food, eating habit. They are so alert and conscious about that. We don't see the moon even. We look into the what is in the plate. That's what we look at. Isn't it? But in the past they had that intelligence to think everything connect spiritually with the nature's forces. Moon is a force in the nature, isn't it? Moon has an effect on your mind. And moon is connected with the sun. All those things. So, in other words, it is also, it's a self-punishment or purification. And not allowing the mind, body, not allowing, pamper the body too much. So, Krishna says here, the best atonement is surrender to Krishna. Completely surrendering to Krishna. Because whatever mistake we do, ultimately to go to Krishna and say to Krishna, I've done this, what should I do? In other words, always in a surrendered way to live in this world, accepting that anything, no matter what happens in life, that is Krishna's desire. It has happened. Not to question that. That is the best atonement, Krishna says. Not questioning Krishna. We are habituated to that, isn't it? Anything happens in life, it is why Krishna has done this to me. This is the first question. That's not spiritual. That's not spiritual. Spiritual, Krishna says, the best atonement is to accept everything what I give to him. Because I know what is good for him, Krishna says. I know what is for him. So in other words, that surrender nature, always surrendering and surrendering to Krishna, no matter what happens in life, and to live in that consciousness, that is the best atonement, Krishna says. Best atonement, Krishna is saying like this. So, that means through yoga system, you are burning all your sinful reactions, through yoga system. And then, Krishna is saying there, Jada Shraddho Malkathasum. Now, talking about devotee, from now on. How many verses? 9 verses from here, now on, is all about the devotee. Then, what is bhakti? Bhakti yogam? For a person who is qualified for bhakti process. That's what is the next 9 verses. Jada shraddho malkadasu nirvinna sarvagarmasu vedam dukhalmagan kaman parityagepi anishwaraham tato bhajedamam prida shraddhalur dhradanishaya jushamanaschadan kaman dukhodarkamscha garhayan proktena bhakti yogena bhajado masakranmune kama hridaya nashyanti sarve mayi hridisthidah. Vidyade hridaya grandhi chidyande sarva samshayah kriyande chasya karmani drishmai karmani mayi drishtu ekhilalmani tasmat bhakti yuktasya tasman mad bhakti yuktasya yogino vai madalmana na jnanam na cha vairagyam prayashrayo bhavediham yat karma bir yat tapasa jnana vairagya daschayal yogena dhana dharmena shrayo bhir idare iravi sarvam mal bhakti yogena mad bhakto labhade anjasa surga bhavargam madhama kadanjadyadi vanchati na kinjil sadhavo dira bhakta ekandino mama Vanchandabhimayadattam kaivalyam abunarbhavam Nairabheksham param prahur nishrayasam analpagam Tasman nirashisho bhaktar nirabhekshasyami bhaved. So, here, important thing about bhakti. Krishna is talking about bhakti now. It's opening up that topic. Krishna says that this bhakti process earlier, he said that the While talking about karma, Krishna said this, that all karma has to be given up. All karma has to be given up finally. In order that to happen, Krishna says, we have said this karma is good, this karma is bad. Guna dosha bhavana. Gunam dosham in karma is spoken with this goal. So that, but the ultimate goal is to give up all karma, to get yourself cleared from the karma. So, in this situation, Krishna says that karma which will create distress later, dosha karma, one has to give up, and guna karma only one should do first. First only you should do the guna karma, and dosha karma should be given up. Later on, he should do the guna karma. That means karma with which are allowed, guna karma, which is sanctioned by the shastram. And those karma should be executed without desiring the results. First of all, we have to know guna karma, dosha karma. Dosha karma we should avoid, only guna karma we should do. When we do guna karma, again afterwards, we should execute guna karma also. Guna karma means karma with good intentions, good, which are authorized by the shastram. What shastram has authorized. What shastram is not authorized is dosha karma, bad karma. So good karma, bad karma. So Krishna is saying this good karma one should execute first. Then in the good karma also, he should learn how to do it without expectation of results. By doing that, what will happen is he will purify himself and vairagyam will come. Vairagyam will come. And it is for this reason only Krishna says this classification of good and bad in the Vedam. Remember earlier Uddhava asked that question and Krishna said to Uddhava that guna dosha drashirudosho gunastu ubhaya varjita. It is now Krishna is answering that in a direct way. When Uddhava asked that question that why Vedam has given all these injunctions, gunam, dosham, this is good, this is bad, this is good, this is bad. And Uddhava asked Krishna to say what is good and what is bad. And Krishna spoke a lot of things. Yamam, niyamam, and dhanam. So many things he spoke, isn't it? And finally, Krishna said to Uddhava, this classification of gunam, dosham itself is bad. And to give up both is good, he said. Then Uddhava's doubt was why it is mentioned in the Vedam. So what was the reason behind it? That's what Krishna is answering now. He's saying, reason for that is that initially the final goal of all this is to get people out of this karma vasana, intention to do karma. So if you say to someone to give up karma, they are not going to give it up. So first thing what to do is to classify the karma into two, good and bad. And then tell them, you give up all the bad karma, only do the good karma. Then afterwards, tell them to do the good karma without expectation of results. If it is done in that way, he will get purified inside, vairagyam will come, and he will be ready for knowledge, ready for spiritual knowledge. That's what Krishna is saying here. It is only for this reason all this classification of karma is spoken in the Vedam. You see that? Understand that? Yeah. Once he has developed attachment to Krishna, when we say attachment to Krishna means attachment to soul, attachment to spiritual life, that is attachment to Krishna. Attachment to spiritual life means attachment to Krishna. If once that is developed, Shraddha has come there, then ideally, Vedam says goodbye to us. Then you don't need anything after that from Vedam. Vedam is only to take you up to that point. Vedam will tell you that this is now that you are coming closer to the truth and there is no more interest in the material life and you also realize the importance of spiritual life and you are following very seriously. So Krishna, and now onwards, these Vedic injunctions are not of much help. Not of much help. There what we require is this higher knowledge what Krishna has spoken to Arjuna and Uddhava. This is what's more important there. So, because he has lost the taste for karma, the taste for karma has gone. But still he has got a problem, he is finding it difficult to give up the sense gratification. He still has some attachment for the senses. But here Krishna is saying here, he knows very well that this sense gratification will give him misery later. He knows about it. He said, what can be done? What can be done? Krishna says, that is why. That is that verse he's saying. Krishna is asking that question. Jada shraddho malkathasu nirvinna sarvakarmasu vedam dukkalmagan kaman parityagebhi anishwaraha tato bhajedamam prida shraddhalur dradanishchayaha jushamanaschadan kaman dukkodarkamsha garhayan. This is a very interesting instruction from Krishna. You won't see this anywhere else, what Krishna is saying here. You know what Krishna is saying? Krishna is saying here that it's all right. He says, don't frighten. You have come to this stage, haven't you? That means you have developed some attachment for Krishna. You have developed some attachment for spiritual life. You have come that far in life. But you still have some attachment for sense gratification. Some sense gratification, you still have some attachment. You're finding it difficult to give it up. What should I do? Uddhava's question was there, and Krishna is saying to him that don't worry about it, Uddhava. Continue the sense gratification, knowing very well that it is a bad thing, and do it. That's interesting, isn't it? That you have come very far, but you're finding it difficult to give it up. We all have little weakness in our life, isn't it? Somebody likes sweet rice very much, finding it difficult to give it up. What to do? Or something like that, or somebody likes a cereal movie, wants to watch that. Krishna says, watch it. Go and watch it. But know very well while watching that you are doing the wrong thing, he says, and watch it. Watch for some time, and one day you will not watch it, he said. That is what verse is saying here. That jushamanascha tan kaman dukho dakhamscha garhayan, he says. Garhayan means you condemn it and you watch it. You condemn it. Some people have football match like it, isn't it? Want to watch the football. They've gone, they've studied spiritual life, everything, but when football comes, it's a weakness. So what to do? Go and sit in the football, watch the football, and always think that this is nonsense what I'm watching. And then like watch it like that. He said, Jushamanascha Garhayan. This is something very interesting Krishna has spoken there. So at that time, think about me, he says. Krishna says, you think that this instruction I have given now, Krishna says, and with that bhakti, take shelter of me and condemn and criticize your sense gratification. That means whether it is football match or whether it is sweet rice or something else, cereal or whatever it is, wherever you are stuck, in whichever weakness what we have, go and do it, he says. But know very well that Krishna has condemned this in the Bhagavatam and it is my weakness, and you keep doing it, and few times you will do it and then you will come out of it. You will lose it. Taste for that. He says you won't be able to keep anything inside. You have to remember, Atma doesn't want any of this entertainment. It's all because of the mind inside. Whether it is eating or whether it is entertaining or whatever it is, it's not coming from you, it's actually coming from your mind. In other words, it's only a vasana inside. And Krishna says that vasana can go if it is properly followed. That is what the point Krishna is making here. After a while, it will leave. So, and these are the problems, isn't it? That you come to spiritual life and still these little weaknesses pulls us back one way or the other. And therefore Krishna says, and if you are finding it difficult to come out of it, then take seriously these verses in the Bhagavatam and take shelter of me, Krishna says. That means more and more chanting the holy name, taking Krishna's shelter rather than the shelter of the ego. And worshipping Krishna, surrendering to Krishna, and Krishna says, it will go. That's a guarantee Krishna mentions in the Bhagavatam. This you can see in all of our life, we go through all these things, isn't it? All our life, we all have different difficulties in one way or the other. And some prarabdham is working all the time in one way or the other, and it takes you to different difficulties. So therefore, Krishna says that should not be a big problem. So we have got hand, Krishna's got hands. We have got legs, Krishna's got legs. And we have got a heart. Krishna also has a heart. She also has a heart. We are also actually a reflection of Krishna in many ways. A ludicrous reflection, they call it. So Krishna is the deity, Krishna. And we are also a reflection of that within us. So we are the, Krishna is the form and we are the reflection. Reflection has to take the shelter of the form. So completely taking Krishna's shelter, we should execute the sadhana. That is the solution for the problem. So one can talk to Krishna, anything what we want, our weaknesses in spiritual life, our problems in spiritual life. If you say to somebody else, they'll go and tell someone else. But if you talk to Krishna, Krishna is the only person you can trust in this world. You can talk to Krishna. He won't go and tell somebody else about you. But whereas anyone else in this world, you say one word, it'll reach 100 people very quickly. Isn't it? So that is why to Krishna you can always talk, and Krishna is always listening. And when you talk, only when Krishna listens to that, there is some hope. Otherwise, there is no hope. So, only when Krishna listens, suppose you are talking to somebody about some problem, only if Krishna within that person listens to your problem, then something is going to change. Otherwise, it's not going to change. And that is why two people are hearing, isn't it? One, he is hearing, and then Krishna inside him is also hearing. Two people are hearing when you are speaking. When you are telling someone your problems and you are looking for a solution from that person, actually two people are hearing there. One, that person is hearing, and another, Krishna within that person is also hearing. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see this. We spoke about that in the 13th chapter. Remember? I'm sure you remember. 13, 14, 15, 16. 13th chapter, 14, 15, 16 verses. That's what that is all talking about. 14. Sarvada Panipadam Dal Sarvadokshiro Mukham Sarvada Shudimal Loge Sarvam Avrtyatishtari Sarvendriya Gunabhasam Sarvendriya Vivarjidam Sarvendriya Vivarjidam Asaktam Sarvabhut Chaiva Nurgunam Gunabhoktracha Bahirandascha Bhudanam Acharam Charamevacha Sushmatvata Avityayam Durastha Chandikechatat. These three verses. They are Upanishad verses. Krishna has taken and brought them into Bhagavad Gita. So, Sarvendriya Guna, Sarvada Panipadandal, Sarvadoksha Shiromukham, Sarvada Shrimal Loge, Sarvam Avrti Tishtadi. Krishna has got all the senses, mind, everything. And if we have got it, why Krishna shouldn't have it? Krishna also has them. So, people think that after studying Vedantam, that Krishna is someone who is like an electricity or something like that. But, and when difficulty comes in life, you have to approach Krishna as a person. He is the one whom you have to talk to. So, when we have a personality, Krishna, like this, Krishna also has a personality, isn't it? But anything is possible in the infinite, everything is there in the infinite also. Ya sarvajnaga, ya sarvavid, yasya jnanamayam tavaha. Tum stri, tum puman, tum kumar, utava kumari. In the Upanishads, you will see this. It is in the, I think, Chandogya Upanishad, it says, Ya sarvajnaha, ya sarvavid, yasya jnanamayam tavaha, tvam stri, tvam puman, tvam kumara, utava kumari. Patanjali says like this, that sarvajnatvam, sarvajnatvam means to see that knowledge in Krishna, which cannot be compared to anyone else in this world. So, therefore, Krishna listens. Krishna listens. When this principle, Antaryami principle, which we spoke about, like Anvikshiti Vidya, Antaryami principle. Antaryami principle is, what is that Antaryami principle, if you remember? That to see the Antaryami in everyone and to talk to that Antaryami. That means if you have a problem with someone, a difficulty, experience in life, just to recognize that Antaryami inside him is reacting to my problem, is reacting to me through that person. That is Antaryami principle. Initially, it may not happen, work the way we want it. That is because Krishna says you want to purify yourself a lot to come to that state of Antaryami. But it is one of these techniques mentioned in the Upanishads, Antaryami Adhikaranam. It says this, that Antaryami Vidya is this, that talking through to the Antaryami and removing this problem with other people, other entities in this world, by talking through to the Antaryami inside. So here, Krishna says here that this principle, all our relationships with other individuals in this world, move it away from their ahankaram level to the Antaryami level. That means in normal dealings in this world, we have relationship with people on a false level, isn't it? False ego is reacting with another false ego. Krishna is saying that if we have trained yourself properly and not to relate with anyone anymore on the level of false ego, rather than through Antaryami, that is the solution to the problem. Krishna says like this. And taking shelter of Krishna and to live in this world in that way. Normally, our life in this world is based on false ego, isn't it? So many false egos is this world. And to come out of that false ego is very, very difficult. Krishna says, if you start recognizing Antaryami's presence in another person, it is easier to relate with that person. It's easier to... Like in due course of time, Krishna says, Antaryami inside that person will act in a favorably to you. So this is another process Krishna. So here Krishna likes that we following this Antaryami Vidya, Antaryami principle. Devotees say Krishna has got a lot of hunger, and that hunger is for this, that you becoming accepting Krishna all the time in life and surrendering to Krishna and depending on Krishna. That is Krishna's hunger, not the food what we offer. That is not Krishna's hunger. Real hunger for Krishna means that this hunger for our attention for Krishna. Attention for Krishna. And more you give attention to Krishna, Krishna's belly gets full. He gets filled in. Antaryami's belly will get full. So a connection has to come there. A connection has to come here. So adhyalpam or spiritual life means for an ordinary householder, he has got wife, children, how he feels his happiness in seeing the wife and the children. And similarly, thousands and 10,000 times of that, we should feel the love for the realized soul, for a realized soul. Yuvasyal sadhu yuvadhyayaha asiswa dhridishto balishtaha tanyeha prithivi sarva vicharthi sarva sarva vittasya purnasyal sa ego manusha ananda teye sadam manusha anandaha. Taittiriya Upanishad mentions about this in this way. So, a young man, he has got all the facilities in his house, good family, and everyone is very amiable, and family life is going on. And 100 times beyond than that, he says that he has got love for the demigods and the devatas, Indra, Prajapati, all these things. After saying this, Esha Brahmana Anandaha, in other words, Brahmajnanam, Brahmanandam, that Brahmanubhavam, what one should feel when he sees a realized soul, there has to be so much perfection. Upanishad says this. If you look into Taittiriya Upanishad, what it says here is that a young man who has got a very good, comfortable material life, good family situation, everything, and if you he has got a loving relationship with everybody at home. 100 times than that, somebody has got love for the demigods, Indra and Prajapatis. Upanishad puts it like this. This is how it, Upanishad says. First of all, to start from the householder's life, that level. In that level, he has got a good householder life, in other words, good loving relationship with everybody, without any friction, the life is going very well. That is first level. Higher than that, someone who has got love for all the devatas. Devatas means all the living entities who controls our life, like Indra, Chandra, Varuna, all of them. I mean, that means he is very much satisfying all the demigods. He has got a loving relationship with them. Prajapati, Indra, all of them belong to that category. After saying all that, Upanishad says, Esha Brahmana Anandaha. In other words, when you see a jnani, realized soul, you should have 100 times more love than all of these people towards him, towards that realized soul. But in order to get to that stage, our emotions and all has to be perfect. Emotions have to be perfect. When vikaram, all our emotions are in alpam, in limited way, it becomes emotions. When all our emotions falls on the truth, on the not on the alpam, but on the bhuma, that's the word they used, isn't it? When it falls on the alpam, it is called emotions. When it falls on the bhuma, it becomes ishuratvam. Alpatvam, ishuratvam. Alpatvam means limited. Ishuratvam means all-pervading. When our love or priyam, that what we have, if it falls on a few individuals in this world based on namarupam, then that love is very limited, isn't it? It's only very limited, alpam. It is called alpam, limited. If the same thing falls on the wide soul, on the spirit, alpma, it becomes bhumava. And then that means that priyam becomes ishwaratvam. It's called ishwaratvam. Ishwaratvam means that this knowledge of the self, when that manifests in a person, he grows big, is it not? You remember that is what was spoken about Shukha Brahmarshi also in the Bhagavadam. Tam sarvabhuta hridayam vinimanatosmi. It's this qualification, sarvabhuta hridayam, that he is present in everyone. Why? He has become Ishvara, like Krishna. He is present in everyone. So the same qualification comes to a realized soul. And that means at that time, his love is for everyone, not only limited to few people. Normally, our love is limited to a few members whom we know in this world. We know them and we have some loving relationship with people. But in a realized soul, it has grown so big that it is for the whole creation. That's the point. It is for towards the whole creation. So, evedam vishwakarmam tayo brahma paramrtam etat evedam gunayam guhayam avidya grandim. So, Purusha himself, that he has executed his karmam, tapasya, everything. Where did he know? Etat nivedam nihidam guhayam. He came to know about him inside of that Purusha. Inside. That is where he realizes this. He realizes this. Avidyagan Swami. So at his that state that he has broken this gland of avidya. He has broken the gland of avidya. That means when self-realization happens, when our limited priyam, which goes into a few people in this world or few objects in this world, when that's gone, and it has gone to such level, like the case of Shukha Brahmarshi mentions there, sarvabhuta hridayam, to all living entities, if it is spread everywhere, then you can say you have broken that knot of attachment inside. And that is why Krishna is saying there, see that verse? Verse 30 is this. This is what bhakti means. That is what bhakti means. See that verse? 30. Vidyade hridaya grandhi chidyande sarvasamshaya shiyande chasya karmani karmani mai drishte khilal mani. That's that state. That is bhakti. Now you see how Krishna defines bhakti? After going through all these process, when finally Krishna is saying that bhakti yogam, you have started executing, but whether you have become successful in bhakti or not, how will you know that? Through this verse. This verse is the testing clause for that. Vidyade hridaya grandhi chidyande sarva samshayaha kshiyande chasya karmani mai drishte ekhila almani. It's a Upanishad verse. It's a verse from the Upanishads. Krishna has taken that, put it here in the Bhagavatam. It has come from Krishna. If you look into the first canto, in the second chapter, you will see the same verse again. First canto, in the second chapter. You will see there, vidyade hridaya grandhi chidyande sarva samshayaha shiyande chasya karmani. That is verse number 21. Vidyade hridaya grandhi chidyande sarva samshaya kshiyande chasya karmani drishto evalmani ishvare. Little difference. Very little. What is the difference? Here, kshiyande chasya karmani drishto evalmani ishvare. Here, Krishna is saying, kshiyande chasya karmani mai drishte kilalmani. See that? That's what it says, isn't it? Mai drishte kilalmani. What is the difference here? Difference is this. This verse is spoken as bhakti realization. This verse is spoken as jnani realization. That's all. That's all the differences. In essence, it's one and the same thing. In the first canto, vidyade hridaya grandhi chidyande sarvasamshaya kshiyande chasya karmani drishto evalmani ishvare. In the Upanishad, it is vidyade hridaya grandhi chidyande sarvasamshaya kshiyande chasya karmani drishto eva paravare. That is Upanishad. In the Ekadasha skandham, vidyade hridaya grandhi chidyande sarvasamshaya kshiyande chasya karmani mai drishte khil almani. Mai drishte khil almani. So it's all one and the same thing. What Krishna is saying, what if we understand what it means, is this, that when practicing all what Krishna has spoken, this Anuchigi Vidya, Andaryami Vidya, prior to that about the Chittavritti, that sadhana, all these things, if it is practiced properly, finally what will happen is, that is what Krishna is saying, Vidyade Hridaya Grandhi, the knot of attachment inside will break. What else will happen? Vidyade hridaya grandhi chidyande sarva samshaya. Doubts will all go. There will never any doubts will come up inside. No doubts will come up inside. Chidyande sarva samshaya. What else will happen? Kshiyande chasya karmani. There will be no more karmam after that. These are the three things. One, vairagyam. First one is vairagyam. Vidyade hridaya grandhi. Vairagyam has come. It has broken all attachment. Chidyande sarva samshaya. Knowledge has come. Doubts has gone, knowledge has come. Kshiyande chasya karmani. All karmam has stopped once for all. Kshiyande chasya karmani. Karmam, jnanam, vairagyam. All three things. Vidyade hridaya grandhi. Attachment broken with everything in this world. No attachment to anything in this world. Finished with this world in all levels. Vidyade hridaya grandhi. Chidyande sarva samshaya. All doubts has gone, proper knowledge has come inside. Kshiyande chasya karmani. The desire for doing karmam has gone. That's a disease, isn't it? Karmam, from the Shastram point of view, it's a disease. Karma Yogam, they call it, not Karma Yogam. They call it Karma Yogam. It's a disease. And since some people that disease is very strong, isn't it? So we got out of that. So Karma Yogam, disease is over, and Chiyande Chasya Karmani. If all these three things have happened, then what will happen to him? Mai Drishte Akhilalpmani, Krishna is saying. He will see me, who is present in everyone, as the soul. Mai Drishte Akhilalpmani, as the soul of everyone. That is his state at that time. It's a very important verse in the Bhagavatam. Repeatedly spoken. Krishna is repeating, Sudha Goswami says to Shanagrishi, it's in the Upanishads. Vidyate Hrudaye Granthi, Chidyante Sarvasamshaya, Shriyante Chasya Karmani, Mai Drishtekila Akhilalpmani. Drishte Akhilalpmani. Krishna is saying like that. So, but sadhana Krishna spoke before, and you have to take shelter of who? Andaryami inside. He is the guide in all these things. There won't be any spiritual master or any, what do the other one called? Not the spiritual master, what do they call? Mentor. There will be no mentor can help you in all these things. Nobody can help you in this. This is all your own individual spiritual life. You got to develop it within yourself. That is why spiritual life is in one way, it's a very independent life. But we make it more and more under the control of so many people and make it complicated. It's not so complicated. The spiritual life, if you come to spiritual life, you are having an independent life. It doesn't have to be like this all the way. But nowadays the modern practice is to create such a system that you are in total control of somebody. Make it you're like a slave to others. That's not spiritual life. Spiritual life is to give you that independence to develop that individual relationship with Krishna. Otherwise, what does it mean, all this? You're joining so many organizations, another organization you've got inside. That's all. No, to empower that freedom. And that will only happen, Krishna is saying, that follow the process what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and take continuously Krishna shelter inside, Andaryami. Andaryami will guide, Krishna guarantees that. He says there, isn't it? He says, if this is all not true, then what? Who else is going to help? If Krishna's words are not true, then what meaning has it got other things? You have to ask that question, isn't it? If we have no faith in what Krishna is saying and thinking that somebody else is saying and that is true, that means we must be real right idiots. If we can't put our faith in Krishna's words, but you are willing to put faith in someone in the street thinking that he is going to save me, that means I am a right idiot. I can't blame anybody else for that. Is it not? So it's just common sense tells you that. So the point is that Krishna is making it very clear that you follow all these things and put that faith in me, Andaryami inside. Because he says very openly there, that verse if you look at, he said that Hridayajnyatvam anvichan, 21st verse, Eshavai paramo yogo manasa samgraha smrita Hridayajnyatvam anvichan damya sevarvado muhu. Damya sevarvado muhu. This Hridayajnyatvam anvichan means what? Complete shelter of Andaryami, taking shelter of Andaryami. Andaryami guiding you in your spiritual life. That is that Hridayajnyatvam anvichan. But we won't accept it. That is the problem. We think that what Andaryami? Who has seen this Andaryami? Where is this? We will go for somewhere else and ask somebody else and trusting him. And that's the last thing to do in spiritual life. So Hridayajnyatvam anvichan, to be trustworthy about Krishna's words, that is what Shraddha means, isn't it? What does Shraddha mean? Shraddha means this, that to accept that what Krishna is saying, to put faith in Krishna's words and to live that way. Otherwise we will get into trouble. All the time we'll get cheated and lied and all kinds of things will happen when we do not take Krishna's words seriously. Hridayajnyatvam anvichan, that is the answer to that. So that is what Krishna has said here. And once that relationship with Andaryami builds up, Krishna says you should live like that. And that is in the Bhagavadam. If you look into the fourth canto, you remember that Puranjana Vakhyanam, Puranjana story. At the end, one Brahmana comes and says to Puranjana that that don't you remember me, Puranjana's wife, who was going to jump into fire and commit suicide, wanted to give up her body. The Brahmana says to him, don't you remember me? We were two birds in the Manasa Saras once. What does that mean? It's all spoken in a very poetical way. What it means is that I am your Antaryami inside. We were always together. We were never separate. We were never separate. We were always together. So reality, the only person who's with us all the time is Krishna. Nobody else. Antaryami. In the fourth canto, that Antaryami is called as Avijñāta Sakhāva. That's a word used in the Bhagavatam. Avijñāta Sakhāva. If you read Bhagavatam, you will see this. Avijñāta Sakhāva means unknown friend. Unknown friend. That is how he introduces. Don't you remember me, he says. Who? Antaryami comes and says to Puranjani when she wanted to give up her body. And that whole Puranjana Vakhyanam is to bring this point across finally, that real dependence has to be on Krishna, nobody else. All others, whoever can help you, that's fine. That's okay. If anybody offers you some help, take it. But you can't depend on them. Dependence on Krishna and other anyone who comes to your life and help you in any way, that's fine, that you can take it and leave it if you like. But dependence on Krishna, that is more important. That is the point Krishna is making here also. In Bhakti Sutram, Sri Narada Maharshi also says the same thing. Whatever emotions you have, leave it on Krishna. And then perfection will come. And whatever Brahman, we call it as Saguna Brahman, Nirguna Brahman, whichever way you approach Krishna. And when you see the creation and living in this world, depending on Krishna, that is more important. And in whatever problems you have in performing sadhana, that also you have to speak to Krishna. If you have difficulty in executing sadhana, you should speak to Krishna about that. And all the great personalities, jnanis, devotees, all of them, if you look into their writings, Tukaram, Namadev, and Jnaneshwar, and many others, all great later personalities also, if you look into their writing, you can see that they were always saying to the deity about their problems. They will always speak about their problems to the deity. They were not going outside anywhere else to solve their problems. They spoke to the deity. That is the system. That's the deity. And when you read that, you will see they are crying. Tears in their letters. Tears in their letters. So many examples. Tyagaraja. And so many whatnot. They're all like that, all devotees. They were all worshipping Shiva, Vishnu, Krishna, different forms. But if you look into their writings, you can see that they were always in conversation with the deity, with Krishna, one way or the other. That is bhakti. That is bhakti. And that is what we have got today, their writings, isn't it? So, Tukaram, famous abhangs, all written like that. So, Tyagaraja stories, and they will talk to their deities, speaking about small things, problems in their life. Tyagaraja used to talk about his problems with his brother, what he has got. He used to tell, he never used to complain to his brother, he used to complain to Ramachandra about it. So, Krishna says here, that is what he mentions there also, that in that verse he says that jushamanascha tan kaman dukodar kamscha garhayan. You will see in that verse jushamanascha yeah vajeda jushamanasya jushamanascha tan kaman dukodar kamscha garhayan tadho vajeda mam prida shraddhalu drida nishchaya. In the 28th verse Krishna has said. So, first thing is, Krishna says, Krishna has put us in different situations in this world. Wherever Krishna has put us to stay there, in that state, in that place, in whatever situation is. And sitting in that place, whatever prarabdham is coming, accept it as prarabdham. And accept that without complaining about that. And if you do take that approach, Krishna says, I will be with you. I will be with you. But don't get too much concerned about what is going around, what is happening around. If it is like that, Krishna is saying a promise. He gives a promise there. What's that promise? Proktena bhakti yogena bhajato ma asakran muni kama hridaya nashyanti sarve mai hridisthite. Verse 29. He says that bhakti process, if you follow, bhakti process means this. Krishna has put us in one situation in this life. We don't know why we have ended up like this. We are now, how we are. But whatever situation we have ended up, to accept that without complaint about it, number one. Number two, due to prarabdham, so many problems will come in life. Without any complaint to Krishna, accepting that and living a life in that surrendered state to Krishna. If you do like that, Krishna says, I will be with you all the time. And that guarantee is that verse 29. Proktena bhakti yogena bhajado mam asakran muni kama hridaya nashyanti sarve mai hridisthite. Sarve mai hridisthite. Just because of my presence alone in your heart, all your desires will disappear. And all your problems will go. All your problems will go. This is why we say bhakti yogam is very simple in that sense. In that sense. But problem comes when we create our own bhakti yogam. That's where all the problem comes. We make bhakti yogam very complicated. Bhakti yogam is not so complicated. We make it so complicated and with targets, achievement of target and all that in bhakti yogam, if you bring it in. Then this Krishna also can't help us then. All Krishna is asking in Bhakti Yogam is, I have put you in one situation. Accept that first. Wherever it is, whatever it is, doesn't matter. I'm there. Krishna has put me in this situation. I'm going to live here in this way. Problems, a lot of problems will come in life. Never complain. Willing to accept it. I'm completely accepting. This is Krishna's decision. I have no complaint about it. And Sharanagati and surrender. If you do like that, Krishna says, that you are accepting your prarabdham, that's nice. Prarabdham is coming. And you are willing to surrender to me in that way. I will be with you. Krishna says everything will come out at the end nicely. And that is that guarantee verse. This verse 29. Some guarantee verse. Krishna says, kama hridaya nashyanti. All problem is due to desires, isn't it? And Krishna says, if I kill all those desires inside, sarve mai hridisthire. I'm capable of doing that because I am in your heart. Sarve mai hridisthire. He says, I am situated in everyone's heart. Where is the problem? This is bhakti. Compared to jnana yogam and karma margam, bhakti yogam is, in one sense, it is simple, and in another sense, it's also very difficult. Why? Because the ego won't allow. Ego will say, well, Krishna can say all that. It's me who is suffering. If I don't look after, who else is going to look after? And the mind will say, yeah, you're telling the truth. I'll help you to do the solution. And then both ego and the mind together will start the action. Then where is bhakti then? Bhakti means surrender, isn't it? Sharanagati, that is what it means, bhakti means. Bhakti, there is nothing much to know in bhakti. All it requires, bhakti is nothing but sharanagati. Sharanagati is another word is bhakti. There is no difference at all. So that is what Krishna is saying in those verses. And then after that, Krishna says here that that this particular mantra, verse 30, what we spoke about, it comes in the Mundaka Upanishad. It is coming from the Mundaka Upanishad. And drishtu evalpmani ishwari, drishtu eva paravare. And here Krishna is saying, my drishte akhilalpmani. Same thing. In other words, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, sometimes you can see it's a commentary on the Upanishad. It's also a commentary on the Upanishad. Hridaya Granthi, that means this tight ego, Hangara Granthi, in other words, that breaks up. It's a tight knot inside, it breaks up. And once that knot breaks up, all the doubts goes away. All the doubts goes away. Ahangaram or false ego will not go till you realize the self. Till you realize the self. And sometimes we will see that some people will say, oh, he doesn't have any ego. we will talk about like that. There's only one person you can say who doesn't have an ego. That's a realized soul. Only realized soul doesn't have an ego. Everybody else has an ego. Has an ego. Whoever has a personality, he has got ego. He has got ego. You know, can you understand that? Because as much as we are not realized the truth, so long as we have not realized the truth, so long as our consciousness is localized with a body, we will have an ego. Till you realize the self and our consciousness become one with the Supreme Consciousness, like the case of Shukha Brahmarshi and many others, up to that point, this ego is inside. There may be a variation in the ego, degree of ego, but ego will be there. And Krishna's point is that Vidyate Hriya Granthi means that complete smashing down that ego has to happen. Only then Chidyande Sarvasamshaya Kshiyande Chase Karmani Mai Drishti Akhilalpani. Because here Krishna says here that false ego gets broken up, shattered, isn't it? All doubts, try to understand that in a technical way. You will have doubts when there is a doubter, one who is doubting, isn't it? Now the person who is doubting has disappeared. That means there will be no more doubts after that. Who is the doubter? The false ego. Atma, the self, has no doubt. He is always eternal, blissful, full of knowledge. Isn't it? His nature, nowhere is mentioned, Atma has doubts. Who has the doubt? Personality has the doubt. Ego has the doubt. Ahankaram has the doubt. Once that is disappeared, then who can have the doubt? Nobody is there to doubt, isn't it? So that is why it is said like that. Vidyate Hridaya, that sequence you have to look. Vidyate Hridaya Granthi. When Ahankaram is completely smashed down, Chidyande Sarva Samshaya, there will be no more a person there present to doubt about anything. He has gone. The person who was doubting all this time, he has gone. He's not there anymore. Then what happens? Kshiyande Chasya Karmani. Because Ahankaram has gone, doubts have gone, there is no karma either. After that, no karma to do anything. Because you are situated in the self. Self has no karma, isn't it? Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. There is no karma in the Atma. Karma is all for the ego, is it not? So you have to look at the subtleties of these Upanishad verses. Only then you can come away from the mind and the body. Otherwise, always identifying with the body and the mind and executing spiritual life is useless. It's no use. One day or the other, with the help of the Upanishad's knowledge, Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, we have to learn how to move away from the influence of the body and the mind in our own spiritual life. Because you can see, if you come in this way, go in this direction, little by little, the control or the grip of the body and the mind on us will loosen up. Will loosen up. Otherwise it won't loosen. Keeping very strong ego and personality and mind, it's very difficult to execute spiritual life. Is it not? Because you are executing something, doing something under the influence of the mind and the body and the ego. That is not spiritual life. Even that is why Krishna is saying, even while executing sadhana, you should take my shelter and execute the sadhana. Jarao marana mokshaya mama ashritte yatandiye te brahma tadbidu krishnam adhyalpam karma chakhilam. Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, that person who wants to free himself from the influence of birth and death, jarao marana mokshaya, what should he do first thing? Mama ashritte yatandiye, taking shelter of the soul and Krishna, he should execute. His spiritual life is, you should progress, you should go. So important thing here is that Krishna is saying, Ahankaram, this one important verse, this verse 30th, if you look through it seriously, you will notice the various aspects of spiritual life coming in there. Karmam, jnanam, bhakti, yogam, everything is there in that verse. And the result also, what is the result? Mai drishte akhilalpani. seeing Krishna in everyone. That's the only truth. Nothing else is the truth. So once the person who is doubting, if he has disappeared, then all the doubts are gone, isn't it? Only the person when he goes, all the doubts go. This is Krishna's point. This is the reason why Krishna is not answering Uddhava when he asks questions. You see, Krishna knows the problem. Krishna is saying, if I keep answering all your questions, it's not going to come to an end. It's endless. But if that person who is doubting inside, if he disappears, then the problem is finished. That is why never Krishna answers any question directly, whether it is Arjuna or it is Uddhava. And that is the process all the acharyas follow, generally. But for normally in our, what do? We have a big question answer session, and all kinds of questions we write down, and then we verify whether you are answering it correctly or not. Oh, out of my 20 questions, he could answer 2 questions only. So it's all right, but it's not so good. So what kind of spiritual life is this? There's a lot of question answer sessions going on in so many webs. Have you seen that? So many personalities, they've got their question answer. You can ask any question and they will give you an answer. What good is it at the end? You're not hitting the problem. Problem is that you're having these questions itself is the problem. Have you seen the website? Many people have got question answer. They have their own, a lot of people have got this question answer. Then people are writing from all parts of the world, from China, from Africa, from Australia, everywhere, asking some silly, funny questions. And this person is sitting here, not knowing what he's asking, he's answering them, all of them. And he feels happy, oh, I had 100 questions. I feel very good. I've answered 100 questions now. And the web, World Wide Web is there to serve all everyone in this world with all their questions, isn't it? So this is all nothing to do with spiritual life. Spiritual life, when it gets commercialized, it goes in this way, like everything. So here, coming back to this, and when that awareness, prajna, when it wakes up inside, Krishna says that he will see that prajna center, what is inside, is that same center who is operating in another person as well. That is that realization Krishna is saying here. The vastu, that what he has seen inside, he's seeing in elsewhere. He's seeing in other people as well. And little by little, that clarity will come. Krishna says, in the beginning you may see something, but later on you will become predominant with that. And that when that happens, nama rupam will disappear. That means, now if you look at a person, you are seeing the form. And you are seeing that person's mind. This is what you are generally seeing in a person when you are interacting with somebody, isn't it? You are seeing his gross form in the body, and you are seeing his reactions, emotions and reactions through his mind. This is the only two level in which you are operating with that person in a normal life. But when Antaryami principle is perfected, Krishna is saying, and when you start seeing, recognizing Krishna's presence within yourself and within others also, this seeing a person through body and the mind will go, will stop. For you, no more body, mind is important from anyone. And therefore, his knowledge has become matured. He has become matured. And he will see a different photograph of the person. And in other words, that you can see... sometimes the photographic techniques, isn't it? One photo, if you look at one way, it will give you one impression. It turns it, you'll give you another impression. There's so many different ways in the photography they do. So similarly, when you start seeing the Antaryami inside in another person, and if your relationship with Antaryami has become strong, then this old personality, form, name and form, with which you were relating with previously, that will disappear in a natural way. That is what they call, in spiritual language, they call it as surface personality. What we have today in our dealings is a surface personality, not the real person. We don't know the real person, do we? We only know the body and the mind of a person. We don't know. That is what is called a surface personality. Dealing with a person on the body and the mental level. It's called a surface personality. It is on this principle all the big, big meetings and everything going on in this world, on the surface personality. So giving up that surface personality is only possible when we have made our connection with Antaryami in the other person. And the Satta, Satta means that Antaryami inside becomes important for us. Now, it becomes important. And the external coverage, this gross body and the mind, is not anymore important. So, so only when you are on a personality level, ego level, or in the surface personality, only then there is relationship. All relationship is on the surface personality, on the surface personality. Once you have relationship with Antaryami develops, Antaryami realization comes, surface personality disappears and all relationship also disappears. That is more important. This so-called, we give too much value to all the relationships in this world, isn't it? Individual level, we give very much importance to personal relationship. And similarly, on a social level and various ways, we give importance. But remember this, from the Krishna's point of view, all your so-called relationship is all surface personality. It's not really, you have no relationship with that person. What relationship you have is on the surface. That's the point Krishna's making. But when Antaryami level you have realized, the knowledge has manifested in a person, or yes, becomes realized the self, naturally there is no more relationships like the way it is as a surface personality. Because that Antaryami who is inside the other person is inside me as well. It's one and the same. They are not different. So who has a relationship with whom? That question will come then, isn't it? So here you will see, here Krishna says like that, that relationship will disappear. So, like if you take at home, husband, wife, children, mother, father, it's all surface relationship only. It's nothing more than that. And while all the surface relationship existing, in depth you have to see the other vastu in them. Normally, everywhere it is a surface relationship only that existing. And because it is a surface relationship, that is why it's breaking up. That's why it's breaking up. It's not staying together. So, even when that is existing, in depth, now, after following this Antaryami Vidya, Anuchiki Vidya and all that, if one execute that, little by little, this inside knowledge will build up and you will start realizing the Antaryami inside. So, at that time, what will happen? What should one do? He has to make sure at that time that he has started seeing the truth inside as Antaryami rather than the surface, that person whom we were seeing before. For such a person, once he has started seeing that, then he has no more any karmam, no doubts at all. No doubts at all. And that is, Krishna calls it as bhakti. Krishna calls it as bhakti. So, Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna's definition of bhakti is like that. You see, this bhakti, what Krishna is talking about, is totally different than the way we many people have understood bhakti, isn't it? They are seeing bhakti purely as a rituals, what they do in life, or all their other activities, what they are doing in the form of sadhana or whatever it is. That is all sadhana bhakti. Proper bhakti, Krishna defines it like this. You see, it is these 9 verses from 27th onwards right up to 35 is all about bhakti. And when you read these verses, you can see Krishna, while talking about bhakti, the way he sees bhakti. He is saying here that that bhakti, when he started seeing Antaryami in everyone, and lose his surface personality and relationship with others based on the body, then Krishna says he has got bhakti. That is, Krishna qualifies him as a devotee. See the difference? Vidyade hridaya granthi chidyande sarva samshayaha kshayande chasya karmani drishte mai drishte akhilal mani. That is Krishna's definition of bhakti. Imagine that. Nowhere you will read a definition of bhakti like this, would you? Everywhere else you will say, so many other things we have misunderstood about bhakti. But Krishna's definition of bhakti is like this. Krishna, because you can always notice one thing, Krishna never discusses anything external. Always talking about internal thing. Because externally you can do so many things. Show to the world I am a great devotee. You can dress up nicely. Tilak on all the 9 places, wherever we have to put on. And a nice first class shika, fully shaved up. And present in front of the world that you are a devotee, isn't it? But your activities may not be a devotee's activity. You may be doing things what suits you. But for others, when they see you, they think that you are a great devotee because you are always in the best attire. Everything. Krishna doesn't want that kind of duplicity in spiritual life. Krishna is not bothered. What is important matters to Krishna is, have you reached this state? That's what he is looking for. That is why he is saying here, proktena bhakti yogena vajado mam asagran muni kamo kadaya nashyandi sarve mai hridisthide. Everything about the inside story, not about the outside. And after saying that, Krishna is saying here that if you look into Narada Bhakti Sutram also, atado bhaktim vyakhyasyama, says Sri Narada Maharshi in the Bhakti Sutram. And he says, after saying all this, he says, bhakti begins then. Bhakti begins after this. It is after this that the bhakti begins. That means a devotee or a jnani who has completely lost his identification with the body. He has realized the self. And not only he has realized the self, he is not seeing any more identification with his own body and the mind, first. Secondly, in other people also, he is not seeing their body and the mind anymore. Their personality also, he has lost that. Within him and within other person, all he is seeing is that one Antaryami everywhere. And that is bhakti. Krishna says that is bhakti. Mai drishte akhilal mani. You can't get a better definition than that. No matter what you say, at the end, this is the truth. It cannot be anything else. And this is the same truth Upanishads have spoken, Krishna has spoken to Uddhava, Krishna has spoken to Arjuna, and what you find in the Yoga Vyasa system, Vedavyasa, Sri Ramachandra speaks to Vasishtha, everywhere, if there is anything spoken about bhakti, this is bhakti. If this state hasn't reached, any other bhakti in any other form, whatever, people are misunderstanding. They are thinking like this, so that suppose we discuss Radharani's relationship with Krishna. We consider, we have the highest knowledge of bhakti, we think like, yes, you got the knowledge, but you haven't got the bhakti. Knowledge you may have. You may discuss all aspects of bhakti, like Shandam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Vatsalyam, Madhuryam. The theory you may understand, Arjuna had Sakya Rasam with Krishna and Hanuman had Dasya Bhavam, Prahlada had Dasya Bhavam. That is all the mellows of bhakti. That comes later. But what is bhakti? If you ask the question, this is the answer. After this stage only, the other things come. We haven't even reached this stage and we are discussing the other things. What is the meaning? What does it mean then? That means you have not even understood this. The first thing is this stage of bhakti. When bhakti develops, in that bhakti, different rasams comes, different mellows comes. And that is what we are reading in different devotees' life. Gopis, conjugal love, Raganuga bhakti, and similarly, Prahlada's Dasya bhakti, Lakshmi Devi's Aishwarya bhakti, Parikshit's as the best listener, like that, there are examples, isn't it? Ambarish Maharaj's bhakti. All these different things are the mellows of bhakti. They come later. That will go according to your vasana, it may go in that. Whichever direction that Krishna directs you, you will go in that way. There's nothing you can do about it. But first of all, bhakti has to be there. And what is that bhakti? The very fundamental principle of bhakti is this. What is that? Vidyade hridaya grandhi, chidyande sarva samshayaha, kshiyande chasya karmani, mai drishte akhilalmani. To see Krishna's presence in all the living beings. All the living beings. You might sometimes wonder that although there is difference of opinion among the acharyas, they all agree on this one thing. They don't have any disagreement. The difference is due to, for example, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu followed the Raganuga Bhakti, isn't it? Vallabhacharya followed the bhakti of Krishna as a little child, Valsalya Bhakti, for which he gave more importance to that. So these are differences in the mellow that's coming from that. But whether it is Valsalya Bhakti, whether it is Shanda Bhakti, like Bhishma had, whether it is Dasya Bhakti, like Prahlada had, or Hanuman had, Shandam, Dasyam, or Sakhya Bhakti, like Arjuna had, or Uddhava had with Krishna. Shandam, Dasyam, Sakhyam. Or whether it is Valsalya Bhakti, like Vallabhacharya has propagated, like Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi had for Krishna. Or like Madhurya Bhakti, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has propagated. Question is all these kind of mellows are mellows of bhakti, and where do they come from? They come from the soul. If Antaryami does not release it from inside, you can't have any of them. In other words, this Antaryami inside is the source from where all these different kinds of mellows of bhakti is originating. Is it not? If Antaryami is absent, none of these will be there. There will be no Shandi, Shandam, no Dasyam, no Sakyam, no Valsalyam, no Madhuryam. But what's now happening is, a lot of times we discuss all these things thinking that if I discuss a few mellows, I have understood, I become a devotee, or I become understood bhakti. No. Mellows comes much later. First you have to cross this hurdle, big hurdle, that is. What is that hurdle? I have to come out of my body, my identity with my body. I have to see in others also the very substance what is in me. Mayi drishte akhilalmani, Krishna is saying like that. After that, whatever mellow Krishna gives the devotee, that will be his mellow. That is Shandam. Or to Bhishma, Krishna gave Shanda Bhakti. To Prahlada, he gave Dasya Bhakti. To Gobis, Krishna gave Raganuga Bhakti. And to Hanuman, he gave Dasya Bhakti. Like these different devotees were given different kinds of bhakti. That's all it is. But not to get too much into that, rather than this is more important than anything else. This is coming to this stage first. And other things, if this stage has reached, then there will be some mellow according to one's Krishna's decision, whatever that one offers to us. That's what is important to know. So here you can see that the adesha bhagavanta mittam me vasudeve akhile loganathe. So atadam bhakti. So Krishna starts seeing Krishna's presence everywhere. Krishna's presence everywhere. That if this has happened, then you can say that he is, material existence is finished for him. For that person, material existence is over. If you look, where is it said? It is in the Bhagavad. If you look into the first canto, in the third chapter, if you see verse 39, one three thirty nine. Who is saying this? It is a discussion between Suta Goswami is mentioning here that before compiling the Vedavyasa Maharshi and Sri Narada Maharshi had the conversation prior to that. It says, Adeha Dhanya Bhagavandamitam Yad Vasudeve Akhila Lokanathe Kurvandi Sarvalpagam Almabhavam Nayatra Bhuya Parivarta Ugra Adeha Dhanyam Bhagavandamitam Yad Vasudeve Akhila Lokanathe Vasudeve Akhila Lokanathe Krishna, Vasudeva, who is present in everyone. Akhila Lokanathe. What else? How do you have to see Krishna? Kurvandi Sarvalmagam Almabhavam. Almabhavam to Sarvalmagam. In all living entities, purely on the platform of the soul. Isn't it? Kurvandi Sarvalmagam Almabhavam. Na yatra bhuya parivarta ugra. Only then that Nayatra Bhuya Parivarta Ugra. What does that mean? Parivarta Ugra means a big change has happened in that person. Parivarta Ugra. Ugra means heavy. Heavy change has happened in a person. That is when this will happen. Which one? Seeing Krishna inside and Krishna in everyone. Krishna in everyone. Only then you can say that the material life is over. Material life is over. After saying that, we'll go to the next three verses. Tasma. So, according to one adhigari qualification, Krishna spoke the three yoga systems so far, isn't it? Jnana Yogam, Karma Yogam, and Bhakti Yogam. And out of that, Krishna spoke about everything and said, Bhakti Yogam is easier compared to, which is understandable, isn't it? Is easier. But remember this also, that yesterday I mentioned this. This decision that I'll go with Bhakti Yogam has to be made not on day one. That's what's happening now most of the people. They'll say, because, and that will lead into problems. This decision comes way far, far later in life. Initially, we need all the three, karmam, jnanam, bhakti, to get us established in the spiritual life. After we got established, after we have started all these Anuchigi Vidya and Andaryami Vidya and so many other Vidyas what Krishna has spoken about, all that, when all these things are practiced and inside is pure, become pure and pure, at that time we will start seeing which is the way to go further. At that time, it's not going to come from outside, it will be from inside. By now, all your guide and the guidance that come from Andaryami is very, very clear. You have already made a relationship with Andaryami. Andaryami will take care of all those things which yoga system you have to follow. Andaryami will tell you at that point from inside. It's too early to make a decision otherwise, to think that I will go through Bhakti Yogam, I don't need Jnana Yogam and all. This is a completely immature statement, that is. Spiritual life also takes time to mature. Lot of maturity needed. You see, when you start Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam like a textbook, and if you study like that, such conclusions will come from that. Whereas Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is something which has life in it, isn't it? Which means that in your daily life, it should manifest. And it should have its influence on you at every step in life. And as it progresses, as Krishna says, that this relationship with Andaryami start building up, then rest of it is in Andaryami's control. Andaryami has to guide you through. You don't have to be worried about it. That's why when you see people are concerned, oh, I haven't found a guru yet, I haven't found a guru yet. It is crazy to worry about it like that when you haven't gone through all these things. Guru has to come by Krishna's arrangement, it has to happen. Even that has to happen through Krishna's arrangement. But you have to get prepared for that. That is what all Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is talking about. So you can see here also now, bhakti doesn't require much of other things. And in other words, although Jnana Yogam, Karma Yogam and Bhakti Yogam, all necessary, bhakti has got one simplicity in there. Isn't it? It's very simple to execute compared to other yoga system. What is the simplicity in bhakti? Simplicity is this. You don't have to do anything. You just have to surrender. That's bhakti. Bhakti is the easiest process in that sense. And it is the most difficult thing also, because ego will say, mind will say, don't surrender. Isn't it? Mind will give you new plans and take you in another place somewhere else. So you won't surrender under any circumstances. So that makes it difficult. So that is why, next verse he says, Tasmad, Tasmad mad bhakti yuktasya, yogino vai madal manaha, na jnanam, na cha vairagyam, praya shreyo bhavediha. Yel karma bhirya tapasa, jnana vairagya daschayal, yogena dhana dharmena shreyo bhiridhara idareiravi. Sarvam mal bhakti yogena, mal bhakto labhadenjasa, surgava vargam madhama, kadanjadyadi vanchati. These three verses. Krishna wants to glorify bhakti. Glorify bhakti. Krishna says that tasmad mad bhakti yuktasi yogino vai madalmana. One who is a devotee and one who is always absorbed in me, for him endeavor, he doesn't have to put a lot of endeavor to cultivate jnanam or vairagyam. Krishna says it will come in a natural way for him. And that bhakti itself will give him everything auspicious. Krishna says, na jnanam na cha vairagyam praya shreyo bhavediha. The bhakti itself will give all the shreyas, or auspiciousness will give it to him. And he doesn't have to work very hard to acquire jnanam or vairagyam. Then, the reason for that, he says, why it's like that? Yat karma bir yat tapasa jnana vairagya daschayal yogena dhana dharmena shreyo biridarei rabhim. Karmam, due to karmam and austerity, tapasa, jnanam, knowledge, vairagyam, renunciation, all of them, and again through yoga process, ashtanga yogam, charity, dhanam, and other processes, all of them, generally a devotee gets it without too much work into it. Because why? Because his surrender is high. He has to be surrendered. He has to be surrendered to Krishna. That means without any complaint to live in this world about anybody, anything, and always accepting what Krishna has given us and to be satisfied with it and being peaceful about it. That shanti inside. That is what Krishna is saying here. Therefore, sarvam malbhakti yogena malbhakto labhade anjasa surgaba vargam madhama kadanjit yadi vanchasi. Krishna says there that everything he gets through bhakti, but at the same time, suppose some desire came to him. Even though all these things, because a first class devotee will have no desire. That Krishna has already spoken, isn't it? Remember, Krishna mentioned earlier in the 14th chapter, Nirapeksham Unim Shandam Nurvairam Samadarshinam Anubrajam Yaham Nityam Puyaye Tyangri Renubhi. There is a verse there. Nirapeksham. Nirapeksham means never asking anything from Krishna. Munim Shandam, always in Shandi, peaceful state. Nurvairam, no enmity. That means he has cleared off everybody from inside. He has taken out everyone from inside, like Yudhishthira did with Duryodhana. So there is no influence inside from anyone. Nirabeksham Vanim Shandam Nurvairam. What else? Samadarshinam. Always on an equal vision with everyone. That means that has happened due to self-realization. All this has come to him through bhakti. Nurvairam Samadarshinam. Such a devotee, Krishna says, Anuprajami Aham Nityam. I follow him, Krishna says, because he is so pure. Puyaye Tyangri Renubhi. I take his dust and put it on my head to purify me. That is Krishna's humility. That's why Krishna is saying like that. To show to us how much Krishna has a feeling for that person, that devotee. So that devotee is what Krishna is talking about here. Not the ordinary devotees like us. Krishna is not discussing that. He's discussing about those personalities saying here. All it is possible, Krishna says, through bhakti to happen. And he says here, surga, if in that person also, suppose by chance a desire came, he wants to see the heavenly planets. Surga abhavargam madhama kadanchidyadi vanchadi. That he can even have that if he wants. But he says, generally devotees won't get any desire. He says, kadanchit yadi vanchati. He says, surgabhavargam madhamam kadanchit yadi vanchati. Krishna mentions there in those three verses. So, such a person who has come to that stage, for him, jnanam, vairagyam is not necessary for him. In that, if you have reached that state, and similarly knowledge, nirvidya bhalyena tishtandi, bhalyeja nirvidya maunam gachet, maunamcha amaunamcha, nirvidya brahmano bhavadi. Vedam says all these things, in the Upanishads it mentions like that. First of all, he heard about the different aspects of the spiritual life, then he reflected on that very well, then he experienced them, and when he has experienced it, he realized that all these things are not important, and then he became very silent. And that means, silence means that he has come into the state of samadhi, samadhi state. And then he gave up his silence, and sometimes he is silent, and sometimes not silent. Maunamcha amaunamcha hitva. Sometimes in the Upanishads, that state of a devotee, this is how it is discussed. And he is seeing the Brahman's realization everywhere. So, with an Vedam, and he is not concerned about anything, this way or that way. He is not concerned about anything. Vidhi and Nishetham, do's and don'ts don't apply to him anymore. Yatha tatha syat. Krishna says here, yatha tatha syat. Then Krishna says, Uddhava, it is in this state actually bhakti begins. After reaching this stage, Krishna says, bhakti begins. Now, here, one important, the reason he says, mentions like this, that the sarvam mad bhakti yogena, sarvam mad bhakti yogena, mad bhaktau labade anjasa, surgabha vargam madhama kadanjit yadi vanchadi. So, Krishna is going to conclude this chapter. Where he mentions that, once he has started seeing realization of the Brahman, Krishna's presence everywhere, then in that case, how he will act in this world, what will be his, how he will conduct himself in this world. Upanishad answers that, yathasyat means, whichever way he is, he will be like that. That means there is no rules and regulations that's binding him. Because once he has reached that stage, he is not doing anything on his own. Krishna is doing through that body. Everything is happening. Because it's like that, whatever he is doing here, it is Krishna who is doing that. He is not doing anything on his own. That is what it says here. Sarvam Madbhakti. So, and this bhakti alone will give him the highest destination, Krishna says. And even when he is doing his vyavaharam, you have to remember this also, that even such a person who has reached that state, he may be doing vyavaharam in this world, but you have to know that you are doing that vyavaharam with Krishna. Because Krishna is working through that person, through a realized soul. When he is conducting vyavaharam in this world, you should not think, oh, now he is doing vyavaharam, so let me do vyavaharam with him. You know what vyavaharam means, don't you? Vyavaharam means that you want a profitable deal in anything. That attitude cannot be with him. Because it's you are doing vyavaharam with Krishna then, which is not allowed. So, every time when you see someone, you are actually seeing Krishna. And therefore that person who is doing vyavaharam, because it's Krishna is doing vyavaharam through him, when he is doing vyavaharam with others, he is seeing Krishna in everybody and he is doing his vyavaharam through that person. Isn't it? So, dhyanam state or samadhi state everywhere, he does not have anything to gain from vyavaharam. Remember I mentioned a story before about this. I don't know whether you remember. There was one sannyasi. This sannyasi was studied Shastram very well, practiced these different things Krishna has instructed in the Bhagavatam and Upanishads and everything, well learned, and lived all his life for a long period of time practicing it properly. And a stage come in life, then you don't have to do anything, practice anything anymore, study anymore anything, no sadhana to perform. No sadhana to perform, no books to study, and no work to do. A stage comes. In the case of great devotees, it has happened like that. Jnanis, devotees, all of them. So, naturally, there is some urge in the body to do something. So, he decided to develop a plantation of banana plants. He decided to grow bananas. And he had some piece of land attached to the ashram. So, whole day he used to work in the field and grow these bananas. He used to plant the bananas. And all the bananas grew. And in the season, they all started giving fruits. There'll be plenty of fruits, much more than what he could use for the ashram. So what he used to do, all the work he used to do, and that was his happiness in growing these bananas. And when the fruits have come, he used to cut them all, the bunches of bananas, and go and deliver it to different houses. And never used to take any money from anybody. He used to tell them that this is just grown in my garden. I just brought it to you because it has to be used. I'll be very happy if you take it. That's the way he offered to people. So he used to offer this to others like this. After a year or so, second time, when this everything became the plantation, banana plants, every year he was doing this. Some thieves entered into when the bananas were ready. They cut all the bananas, put them in their truck and took it away. One morning when he got up and looked into the plantation, there was no bananas. All the plants were there. All the bananas have gone. What did he say at that time? He says that they have helped me actually to distribute. They may be needing it, that's why they have taken it. You can see the state of consciousness inside. He's saying that I don't need them anyway, I'm going to give it to somebody. But distribution part of it, they have taken care of it. I don't have to worry about it. This was his reaction from that. In other words, what he's saying is that a stage has come in their life that once you start recognizing Krishna's presence in other living entities, Ragadvesham has completely gone away from inside, Kartrutva Bhoktrutvam has gone inside, then this will be our relationship with other living entities. That's the most important thing. So he is also doing, for us it may appear as though it's a vyavaharam what he is conducting, isn't it? The work he is doing and trying to give these fruits to others and all. It may appear as though it's a vyavaharam, but in reality it's not a vyavaharam anymore, because for it hasn't created any impact inside that person. That means the karmam what he has executed is complete. Do you understand that? That it is not creating any more karma vasana inside. It's not sowing any other seed inside, a bijam, karma bijam or vasana inside. Therefore, his karmam is complete. It has not created any vasana. It has not created any disturbance inside. So therefore, his karma is complete. And that is the way Krishna executes karmam. And that will be the way jnanis execute their karmam. So, Krishna says here in that 34th verse, if you look at the 34th verse, such a devotee is a very special category, Krishna says. A person who is in that state. What is that? Na kinjil sadhavo dira bhakta ekandino mama vanchandyabhimaya dattam kaivalyam apunarbhavam. This is the result of that. Na kinjil sadhavo dira bhakta ekandino mama vanchandyabhi maya dattam kaivalyam apunarbhavam. Krishna is saying here that such devotees who have reached that stage, even if I give it to them something, they won't take it. Even if I offer them something, they won't take it. What else he says? Even if I offer them liberation, they say they don't want it. They don't want it. That does not mean that they are not liberated. That's not what it means. That is to show that desire has completely gone away from inside. That is why it's spoken like that. Because ultimately, what do we want in spiritual life? We want to get out of this cycle of birth and death, material life, isn't it? Material existence, from bodily existence. So mukti is the goal. We don't want another material body to suffer here. What Krishna is saying there is that even if I offer that, he doesn't want it, which means that he won't have any desires left inside. That desireless state, the freedom from the desire itself is mukti. That itself is the mukti state. That is what that means. Na kinchil vanchanti dhiraha. Krishna says, they are very heroes. They are the heroes. They won't ask anything. Most of the people think bhakti means asking Krishna something, isn't it? If you don't ask Krishna, when people say like this, if you don't ask anything, then what's the point in going there all the way? That's the way. If you're not asking anything, and if he's not giving anything, what's the point in all doing all these things? So that's what we are saying. So that is our bhakti, isn't it? With both hands wide open. He says, give, dehi, dehi, dehi. And so many kirtanam also for to give to dehi. Dehi means give me, everything. Dehi, dehi, bahi, bahi, palayamam, Krishna, Rama, Govinda. Then a few holy names after that. give me, protect me, look after me, palaya, palaya, Krishna, Rama, Govinda. So what Krishna is saying, na vanchati kinchil ekanta bhaktaha. Ekanta bhaktaha, that's a special title for that devotee who doesn't ask anything. And not only that, even if I give them something, liberation, apunarbhavam, even not repeating the cycle of birth and death, freedom from that, Krishna says he doesn't want that. And if you ask him liberation or that, all those things, not to take birth again, even that, because liberation actually means it's not a state. It's not a state. What has happened is, as far as they are concerned, birth and death is not a reality anymore. That is what it is. Do you understand that? See, suppose you have come out of the body and you know that there is no such thing called birth and death. If that knowledge has come to you and it has started working inside, then you won't be frightened about another body or another existence, isn't it? Why are we frightened about death? Because of our identification with the ego. That's why. It's the ego which is transmigrating from one body to another. But moment you have realized the self, then there is no such thing called a liberation to be offered. Liberation is not like another chair to sit on. Like we say that jagrat, sapnam, sushupti, in a similar way, moksham or liberation is not a state. What it is that as far as the person is concerned, the devotee is concerned, birth and death is not a reality anymore. Because he knows very well the ego inside is dead, gone. That means he cannot experience death anymore or birth anymore. Because the person who dies and who takes birth has disappeared. Is it not? The person who takes birth and death, he has already disappeared. So it is not a reality anymore. So there is no need to ask for liberation or anything anymore. He is already a liberated state, that is. That is what Krishna says here. Just like in the ocean, there is so many waves that comes. Similarly, this Chit Shakti, in the Chit Ocean it is called, whatever that comes up in that, it remains for some time and then it disappears. And that akhandatvam, akhandakaram, akhandakaram means that it is an ocean, which is that pure consciousness state. In that pure consciousness, birth, death, liberation, bondage, nothing is a truth. That is not a truth at all. While studying Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, we will talk about liberation, we will talk about bondage, we will talk about birth, and we will talk about death. Once the knowledge comes in and the knowledge manifested in a person, birth is not a reality, death is not a reality, bondage is not a reality, and liberation is not a reality. All that remains is pure consciousness. Pure consciousness. Only if you accept that, Krishna's another words in the Bhagavadam, Bandho Mukta Idi Vyakhyo, Gunato Mena Vastuda, Gunasya Maya Mulatwal, Name Mokshona Bandhanam, that verse will become correct. Otherwise it won't. If you start saying that liberation is somewhere else, in some planet, somewhere else it's kept and all that, if you bring it in that way, then this verse will contradict that. You won't be able to answer this question, isn't it? Krishna is saying, Name Mokshona Bandhanam. So, while living in this body, if we freed ourselves from the attachment, identification with this body, mind and the ego, and if our identification with the self is completely established, after that there is no more birth, there is no more death, there is no more bondage, there is no more liberation. Everything is finished. No such thing exists in reality. That is the point Krishna is making here. So we will stop there today. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.